welcome to Thursday night at the Speakeasy Cafe. We would like to invite you to take the stage for the Sound of Ink open mic poetry night. Now, let's get started. I want your ink in our ears.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Speakeasy Cafe open mic poetry show. Very, very excited to be here tonight with you all. Looking at the board real quick, making sure everything is up and running this week like it should be. It looks like we're pretty good. Hey, Scarlett, I see you online. Welcome. Okay. All right. So welcome to the show, everybody. It's going to be an amazing evening. We got some great things lined up. Jimmy's bringing us a special treat tonight, and I'm very excited about that. Like dancing on my desk is excited. But before we get started, we have some stuff we need to go over. So as I go through this, start getting your pencils and papers or pens or quills or notebooks, whatever it is you write in. And because we'll be getting to our Inspiration from the Inkwell workshop, mini workshop here in just a moment, so you can write that stuff down. Till then, we have some stuff to talk about. I'm struggling with my studio here as we're speaking, just so you know. I've been having some issues with this site, but everything looks good. We got callers online, so you guys aren't going to have to sit here and listen to me talk for 3 hours like a couple weeks ago, which is always good. All right, so first thing I would like to talk about is the number to call in. It is 646-595-3965. That's 646-595-3965 if you'd like to call in and read. I want to remind you that we have our new prize drawing started for our first quarter of the year. For the theme for this year is 2024 is the year of the voice, and our first quarter prize drawing reflects that very well. To be qualified to get entered into this contest, all you have to do is bring somebody new to the show, somebody that's not read here before, or resurrect somebody who's not been here in a couple of years, whatever. But yeah, bring someone to the show, let me know that you brought them, have them let me know. If you do that, then both of you get your names entered into the drawing. The prize package for this is, I think, is pretty awesome. There's going to be a journal. There is going to be a, I keep saying I'm going to do this. Robbie, will you please remind me to post my pins on the page so people can see them and they'll get excited, I hope. Maybe you will get excited about them. But I hand sculpt nib pens, dip pens, you know, inkwell pens, quills. And they're pretty crazy. But whoever wins will get the journal. They will get a custom-made nib pen, inkwell thingy holder that I make sculpt for them, whatever else I end up throwing in the box along the way. So it's a pretty cool prize. All you have to do, bring somebody new to the show. Jimmy's been doing great at that. And Mama has been doing awesome at that. And Gina has been doing awesome at that. So, yeah, simple, easy peasy. That's all you have to do to get entered into the drawing. So that's going to be fun. The next thing I want to go over is, see, there goes my studio again. You can tell I don't multitask well, right? Squirrel, look, gone. She's history. Next thing I want to talk about is that I want to take a moment and let you know that our 2024 broadcasting license fundraiser has begun. And we've only got, actually we're towards the end, we've only got about 3 weeks left is all until I have to get that covered. And a lot of you know that, you know, we've been on the air for 17 years. And when the show first started out, I was able to do this all on my own. And over the last 17 years, the broadcasting fees have gotten much higher than I can do on my own anymore. And so you guys started helping out several years ago and helping me cover this, and it's been amazing and awesome, and it's so appreciated, especially because You guys, I'm absolutely serious. We literally cannot be here without the help. I cannot do this on my own. And I'm working on things I can do to raise some extra money right now to cover as much as this as I can. But we do need your help. I do need your help to get to be able to stay on the air. We need to, you know, this is a community effort for sure. So if you would like to help sponsor the Speakeasy, you can jump on my Facebook page. If you're not on my contacts list, you can find me under Nyla, N-Y-L-A, last name Alicia, A-L-I-S-I-A. Or you can Google Speakeasy Cafe Fundraiser or Speakeasy Cafe GoFundMe. Either one of those, you can find it online that way. In addition, we have a PayPal account under the show, which is the word the is in there, T-H-E, the Speakeasy Cafe at gmail.com. And we also have a Cash App account, which is $Speakeasy Cafe, if you'd rather make a donation through one of those. And every little bit, I mean, I hate, you guys have no idea how uncomfortable this is for me to come on every single week and talk about this. You know, I wish that I could do it on my own like I used to, but I just can't anymore. And so I am reaching out to the community. Keep us on the air. Help keep us thriving, growing, continuing for another 17 years. Every little bit helps. It doesn't matter. And just know that we appreciate it very much. So I want to take this moment with that said and thank our 2023 broadcasting license sponsors, those of you who helped keep us on the air this last year. And it's real important to thank those guys. I do this every week, as I will for our new sponsors, of course, because I think that it's important that you guys, you know, if you take a moment when you talk to them and just say thank you. If you see them in chat, say thank you. You know, it's a pretty amazing thing, the gift of this whole last year that they've given us. So without further ado, our 2023 casting license sponsors are Annabella Ashire, Anthony Arnold, Dave Kuhn, Debbie Kelly, Douglas Curry, George Wiley, Gary and Noreen Snyder, Jade Mist, Jessica Brooke, Karen DeWitt, Kristen Riley, Krista Jopek, Krista Jopek's dog, T.S. Elliott, Lori Binder, Lynn Perkins, Martha Shestick, Michael Emerald, Missy and Jimmy Ray Davis, Pineapple 16, Revel Jones, Rich Hathaway, Robert and May Ryan, Terry Galloway, and Timothy Melton. I also want to thank those of you who made donations in the memory of Melvin Douglas Johnson, Philip Kent Church, John Kays, Ray Neighbors, Rick Smith II, Glenn Still, Charles C.B. Banks, King's Cadence, and Deep Enough. Thank you, all of you. Appreciate you. And again, if there's, you know, if you can throw a couple bucks in the direction of the show to help us cover our license for next year, it is desperately needed. So appreciate you guys and thank you. Thank you for everything you do, regardless, for supporting this show. And these guys are amazing. Should be really proud of what you have built here. All right. So with that said, do you know what time it is now? So cheesy. Inspiration from the Inkwell or mini workshop. So make sure you have your pen and papers ready. I want to touch real quick on our time capsule. We are going to box ourselves immortal. I want you to kind of think about if somebody dug up a time capsule 2,000 years from now and you wanted to be remembered, you wanted them to know who you are, what makes you tick, just who you are. Like, hello, people 2,000 years from now, this is me and I existed. What poems would you put in there? What pictures would you put in there? What little tidbits or trinkets or baubles would you put in there? I want you to think about that. Stick a box on the, you know, under the desk or in the closet or whatever, and every time you see something you think would be good in there, throw it in there. All right, at the end of the year, I want you to pick out a place and go bury your time capsule. Just make sure you have some, and, you know, the stuff you put inside, you can put in baggies or whatever to make it even more waterproof. You can actually get time capsules off of Amazon if you want to be really fancy about it, but any waterproof container will work. So think about that. It's going to be really fun. Box yourselves immortal. Introduce yourself, your work, your poetry. What poem would you want them to read in 2,000 years? When somebody digs it up in their archaeology and they're, wow, this poem is so great. This must have been a very important person of much status in the community. They never find peasants, do they, when they dig things up? Okay. Now, as I go through this, if you don't get everything written down, don't worry. You can always come back after the show's over and re-listen to the beginning of the program and grab whatever you missed. Remember, we have 17 years worth of podcasts, so it's a great tool for you to utilize if you're sitting there some night and wondering, I wonder what I should write. What would inspire me? Just jump on there and get your prompt and get your running. Speaking of prompts, the first thing we are going to do is go through your poetry prompts for the week. And I want to thank everyone who posted the prompts for tonight's show. There were so many and some really great ones. And at least some of those are going to have to spill over into next week. And this is kind of going to be the Karen DeWitt hour, because she must have posted like 100 prompts on there. She was on a roll. She's calling people out and just like boom, 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 boom. it was pretty awesome watching her throw all those up there. So quite a few of these in here tonight are hers, and I want to thank her for those. I had a lot of fun with you today watching you do all that. So we have, hey, Mama, I see you online. Welcome. Have your pen and paper ready. Here we go. Let's get started. Your prompts for this week. Remember, wait a minute. I forgot to tell you. Poetry prompts are like seeds planted. They're meant to grow into poems. You can use these prompts as the title of your poem. It can be a line in your poem or the general concept of your poem. Whatever you do with the prompt after that is entirely up to you. Alrighty. So prompt number one. Ready? On my windshield. Note on my windshield. Number two, it's been one of those days. It's been one of those days. Recognize that one, Robbie? Number three, going back for seconds. Going back for seconds. Four, I've had enough. I've had enough. You have to be careful what you put on that thread, because I will take anything as a prompt. Number five, remains. Remains. Number six, whitewashed history. That was from Miss Amelia last week. We borrowed that one from her. Thank you for letting us use it, Amelia. Number seven, lean into the neon. The neon. Number eight, bleed it out. Bleed it out. Number nine, judgment's graffiti. Judgment's graffiti. Number 10, the good stuff. The good stuff. Number 11, until then, until then. 12, insert your own word here. Insert your own word here. Embracing your vulnerability. Embracing your vulnerability. Number 14, blood on paper. Blood on paper. And number 15, the spring offensive. The spring offensive. Now remember, you can write one poem per prompt. You can mix and match the prompts, or you can use all of them in one poem if you're feeling really froggy. All right, entirely up to you. So next we are going to talk about your pick apart a prompt writing exercise. And this is something you should do before you sit down to write any of these prompts, obviously, but also because we're going to be using those prompts, but also before you sit down and write to anything that you write. This exercise, what it does is it makes you very conscious that what you write or what you do with the prompt before you write is much more important than what you actually write to it. You know, this will help keep us from tucking in with our, you know, whatever our baseline inspiration triggers when we hear something that inspires us. It teaches us how to find the more inside of us, you know, as we dig deeper, go beyond the basic or typical poems we would normally write to something when it inspires us. I want you to be able to flush out the stuff that's hidden behind the fluff. Nobody wants to write the basic poem. You guys have heard, I'm not going to go into all that again because you've heard me say it a million times, but you understand what I'm getting to. So to start this off, what I would like you to do is open your journal page to a or journal to a clean page, and starting at the top, I want you to write down the first prompt. Then I would like you to write down at least 6 different poems you could write to that one prompt. So you, before you write a poem to it, I want you to sit down and write at least 6 different poem ideas you could write to that one prompt. When you're done with the first one, go down to the second, third, the fourth, until you have at least 6 different poem ideas for each of the 15 prompts. I promise you will not get through this without some idea running away with you, and I 100% guarantee it will be something that's not what you would typically write, something a little different. Going to be amazing. Trust me. All right, your journaling assignment for this week. This is kind of your yoga pants time with your muses. It's not something you're writing to throw up on Facebook. It's not something you need to get likes for. You know, this is where you can, you know, you don't even have to brush your teeth before you write it. You know, this is just one-on-one time, you and your muse, and having some fun. So this week, or what I've been doing actually the last couple of weeks, is I've been giving you an opening line. And what you're going to do with this line is you're going to write it at the top of your page, and then once you have it written down, you're just going to keep going. So let's start it with me giving you the line. The line for this week that you're going to begin with, the first sentence on your page is, they said I would regret it, but. So you write, they said I would regret it, but. And then just keep writing. Whatever comes into your brain, whatever pops into your head, whatever spills out, don't think about it, just write, 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 write. You know, there's a freedom, a magic in free writing like this that you get in no other type of writing that you do. It's really, really one of the best exercises you can do as a writer. You know, I hear people talk to me all the time about, I've got writer's block. You don't have writer's block. Writer's block does not exist. If you're sitting there and you think, oh, I can't write a poem, it's our pressure that we put on ourselves that we think is writer's block, because we are so conditioned to instant gratification of social media and boom, 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 we have to get it done now. We have to get another poem posted. They're going to forget about me. I need to get another one done. I haven't posted a poem today. Everyone's going to forget about me. No. Okay. If you want yourself to produce your art, you have to practice. You have to keep it from becoming a chore. You have to remember to have fun with it. Have some freedom with it. Play. Keep it exciting. Keep your brain excited about engaging with it instead of having it be a struggle. And you all know what I've talked about or talking about. We've all been in that struggle before. But if you can pick up a pen and write, they said, I would regret it, but, and then just keep writing whatever comes to your head. You're writing, right? So how can writer's block exist? It does not exist. And these things that we give you, these exercises and assignments and all that stuff, these are all designed to keep that part of your brain moving and active. If you don't use it, you lose it, remember? So these are all things that are meant to prime that pump, get that going all the time in your back of your head, that thinking, that creative process. So again, they said I would regret it, but start writing, and don't stop till you're done. Also, because I think that this is a really important subject and one of the most important things you can do as a writer, yes, I just took a drink of water, is I'm looking for like 3 or 4 people who would be willing to work on a project with me and take some work. It's going to take some commitment on your part, but I need 3 or 4 people who are willing to do the 5-minute free write every day for 30 days. And then we will do a recorded workshop together. It won't be live. We'll pre-record it so we can, you know, take our time and do it. But I want to be able to do a workshop on this but I need people that have not done this before. I want them to do it, experience it, because then I need you to talk about what you learned from it, how it changed you. You know, I can tell you the guys this stuff till I'm blue in the face, but if you do this, one of your peers does this, and they're talking to you, and they're telling you all this stuff, you know, it's different than me just hammering in your head every week. So please, if you would be interested, I can give you the details of what we're going to do, but if you would be interested in being involved in this workshop with me, then please shoot me a message or even let me know on the air today when you call in, all right? Okay, remember, as food for our creative souls, we are focusing on reading, reading, reading. You must have input in order to have output. You are what you eat. That applies to your brain as well. You cannot keep writing creative new things if you don't have creative new things going into your head. So read, 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 and live life. Go out and do things. Have new experiences. All of these things are going to help you, inspire you to write better. As our writer's discipline, and it is a discipline because it's non-negotiable, this is something you have to commit to for yourself, and that is every day I want you to write a haiku poem. And again, I'm going to be like dead honest here. I am so sick of hearing people tell me, I don't write haikus, I don't like haikus, and that's fine. I used to not like form poetry at all, because it was numbers, and numbers hurt my head until I thought them as being, they're just word puzzles. And it took the numbers away and brought it back to words, and then it was awesome and fun. But write a haiku every day, or write a 17-syllable sentence every day, all right? A haiku poem is three lines with a 5-7-5-syllable count. Whichever way you want to do it, I don't care, just do it. It's very important. This is your writer's discipline. You deserve this. You owe it to yourself. You should do this. You need to be like, have that on like bumper stickers or something. Anyway, each day go out in the world and find your 17 syllables. Write it down when you think about it. Carry a paper and pen or something with you. If you think you're going to save it for later, it will go away and you'll never find it again. So take 17 syllables worth of your day back. And make it belong to you. You do so much for everybody else. Just give yourself 17 syllables back. All right. We're going to run through those prompts again real quickly for you. Number one, note on my windshield. Two, it's been one of those days. Three, going back for seconds. Four, I've had enough. Five, remains. Six, whitewashed history. Seven, lean into the neon. Eight, bleed it out. Nine, judgment's graffiti, 10, the good stuff, 11, until then, 12, insert your own word here, 13, embracing your vulnerability, 14, my mouth didn't want to do that, 14, blood on paper, and 15, the spring offensive. All right, that's it for this week's edition of the Inkwell, our mini workshop. Remember, if you missed anything, you can come back after the show and re-listen to the beginning of the archived podcast. All right, I'm going to play an audio track, and I'm really excited to play this one. I was going to play it last week, but I couldn't get it uploaded soon enough. And then when I did get it uploaded, I kind of had something different we were doing last week, and I wanted to play it at the beginning of the show. So we're playing it this week. It's one that Jimmy Ray Davis had sent in, one of his brand new ones. I've not heard it yet. I'm excited to hear it. And so this is called One More Cup of Coffee, Jimmy Ray Davis. Here you go.
I know you're showing me the door, but I just don't know where to go. I've been living my life so fast, never learned how to take it slow. I need to stretch this morning out, somehow recapture your inner glow. Can we please just have one more cup of coffee before I go? The light in your eyes has gone out, and it chills me to the bone. I don't want a life without you. I don't want to live alone. The world is spinning, and I'm getting dizzy, thinking of right words to say. Alone in the park, where our hearts hit the mark. But that was yesterday. Can I have one more cup of coffee? For at least it warms my heart. I taste the memories in each sip before we fell apart. And I'm taking my time. I'm getting dizzy. My world is spinning. I can't think of words to say. My heart is sinking. The clock is ticking. Rhymes of yesterday. One more cup of coffee, please. One more moment shared before the memories freeze and I go away. But I'd like to stay. One more coffee, babe.
Wow. That was amazing. Almost made me cry. That was beautiful. It was so different. Nobody died in it either. He's going to kill me. All right, you guys. You know what time it is now? It's time for you, the poets. If you would like to call in and read tonight, the number is 646-595-3965. You can listen by calling in. You'll hear a little cute little British woman asking you if you would like to come on the air to press 1. So if you would like to read, press 1. If you don't, if you're here just hanging out listening, then don't press 1, but you can listen through your phone line as well. If you are on hold, this is what you can expect tonight. We do take callers in the order that you call in. When I bring you on, please make sure that you introduce yourself. It's really important that people know who is reading and your name is attached to your work. Right now, you can read 2 normal length poems or 1 longer poem. When you are done reading, make sure that you give out your URL. It's really important that people know how to come find you and show you some love, get to know you and your work better before you come back here and read again next week. Remember, we have a mature rating, so you're going to hear just about anything. I never know what you guys are going to read when I unmute your lines, so just be prepared. But what you will not hear is any adult hardcore porn poems. We don't have an adult rating. We just have a mature rating. There's some great shows for those, but you just can't do them here. I'm going to go ahead and announce the first 3 callers so you kind of know where you are in the lineup, and I will be updating you on this as we go tonight. Our first caller comes from area code 702, followed by 419, and then 731. I do want to let area codes 931 and area code 443 know that you are not in the lineup. So 931, if you would like to come on and read tonight, I believe that's Miss Sarah. Sarah, if you'd like to come on and read tonight, press 1. If you're just hanging out tonight and having fun listening, that's awesome. If you change your mind anytime, press 1. And then our other caller is 443. If you are listening and hanging out, that's awesome. Welcome to the show. If you would like to call or if you'd like to read on the show, press 1 at any time, and that will let me know that it's okay to unmute you. All right, everybody else, we've got you in the lineup, and you're going to be good to go. Make sure we've got everyone in 609. Okay, all right, we've got everyone there. All right, again, let's go ahead with our first caller this evening. Area code 702 needs no introduction, but I will let him give it to you anyway. 702, you're on the air.
Hey, Nyla, Jimmy Ray Davis, the word machinist. So delightfully, wonderfully excited to be here tonight. How are you, Nyla?
I am doing wonderful. I am so happy that you're here. Great track, by the way. I really loved that. It resonated with me on so many levels, I can't even tell you.
Well,
so,
you know,
thank you
and Nyla, thank you for playing it. And, you know, really, just a quick note on that. You know, we've all, most of us, I think, have kind of been where the crux of that poem is. And, you know, really when I'm writing something like that, I've explained to you before, and I still want to do a workshop with you, characterization and spoken word and all that. But I have to really feel it, you know. To write it, I have to feel it. And then when I'm speaking it, I have to just embody the emotion in that poem. So, and that's just how it came out. And, yeah, I was pretty happy with that one. That's actually from November, but I thought it was one you hadn't heard, so that's why I sent it in.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much.
Let's talk Wildwood.
I know. I'm seriously wiggling in my chair right now. I'm so excited to hear this.
So so we're on the road trip phase, and so far we've brought back, well, they haven't got there yet, but they're now traveling to the Wildwood, Debbie, Marvin, and Frank, a man with no name. Obviously, he has a name, but and we're going to bring them all back. So this time, we're bringing back one of the Butcher brothers who revealed that his real name is Myron Buford. He hates the name Buford. Helga used to tease him all the time. So, and this is important, I think. I love doing these because I can get into character, but also you kind of ping off of how the characters perceive each other, you know, and how it affects a lot of what they're going through, their thoughts about what had transpired and so forth. Now, I've only voiced Myron once in the last poem that basically starred him, so I'll do my best to see if I can remember what he sounds like. He is kind of a whiny drug dealer. And so no further ado, this is Road Trip Myron. Lord help me, here I go to the land of nut jobs and weirdos, fucking Wildwood Motel. I guess I knew I'd end up in hell. Feels like some kind of fucked up family reunion with judgment of sins as the dinner bell. So what's the plan? Knock out dumbass Stan? Slap Helga's face? I swear to God, if she calls me Buford, I'm going to fucking lose it. Bitch better choose her words wisely. Driving this piece of shit 84 Camaro. I know, it's the worst model they put out. At least the radio works. Now I got to go see all those jerks. Spirit fucking wild? More like dimwit child. Man, I fucking kill myself sometimes. Might give her a shot. Hey, she'd be a grown-ass woman now. I wonder if she's hot. Passing some dipshit trucker on the right, I'm blasting Iron Maiden 2 minutes to midnight. Stan used to hate that shit. I'll make sure to turn it up loud for the moron Wildwood crowd. I miss my brother, man. I miss Mark. Lost him to the dark. Fucking Cheryl. Insane and a total disgrace. I wonder if she'll dare show her face. The worst, though, when the shit all goes down, we'll have to face that evil-ass clown. Gives me the damn heebie-jeebies, like my cousin Stevie used to say. I guess I'll have to pay. But for what? I ain't did nothing. Okay, so I sold drugs, and some may have ended up in the hands of kids. Not my fucking problem. If we're being transparent, where was their fucking parents? I mean, there was Nicky, but he was just a go-between, a stooge. That's okay. I'm done, like nuns on the run. Got my gat, so if things don't go well on the sly, I'll put a bullet between that clown's eyes. Adios, motherfucker. And peace.
Holy shit. First of all, if he comes anywhere near me, that's not going to be good, because I am definitely a grown-ass woman now.
I thought you'd really get a kick out of that. Yeah, and I did.
This is really, probably one of my favorite road trip ones you've written. I love this. This is really, really good.
Thanks. It was crazy about it. And you know, because we were incommunicado there before the show started, I literally had written one this week and I wanted to and just didn't happen. So I thought, well, I gotta have a Wildwood ready for Nyla tonight. It's been a little while. And so I started writing it, and then I had to make dinner, and then I'd eat, and I'd write it again. And but I got it done. I don't know what, about 10 minutes before the show started. So it was a rush job, but, you know, but I mean, it's easier when you know the characters. You know, I feel comfortable in the story. So the words come quicker. And part of characterization, what I always talk about, is really knowing your characters, feeling like they're real people, because then you can write as them in their voice. And it just flows. What they're going to, how they're going to think and what they're going to say just kind of flows out.
You do a fantastic job with your character creations, for sure. And I love that when you perform them, you take on their persona. You know, it just adds that much to the realism of it. Very, very awesome, sir.
Thank you so much. I did send you another piece that I'm going to read, and for some reason it's no longer queued up on my end. As I pull it up, so Wildwood, we do have a few folks to still bring back, Spirit Wild included, and things are really coming to a boil at the Wildwood Motel. I hope you're on the edge of your seat. You really, really do.
You know I am. You know what's really crazy is, you know, this was maybe 19 years ago. How long ago was it when you wrote your first one? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was 2006. So, yeah, it's been a while, about 18 years.
Yeah. So 18 years ago, I fell in love with your first Wildwood poem. And here, 18 years later, we're sitting here, and it's still living and breathing and growing. And isn't that crazy when you think about it?
It's insane, but it really speaks to kind of what I think we try to get across with writing and with not having the boundaries. And there's really nothing you can't do. You know, if you want to bring back a character, revive a story from nearly two decades ago, I mean, obviously, I'm trying to prove that with three stories. And, you know, it's like how you're always talking about, you know, stretch beyond what you think. Don't write the poem you think that your mind is telling you to write or that you feel comfortable in. Sometimes it's good, even if you don't end up posting. We're always, like you said, we're always hung up on posting and we're on a schedule. Write it anyway, because anything you write, even if it ends up getting wadded up, can still be an exercise. It can still show you where you can test those limits a little bit. Part of why I chose the second piece today, it's an older piece, one of the first ones. I probably read it at some point during the first season of Speakeasy. And I feel it's probably a polar opposite of the one I just read. You know, getting into character is great. It is like prose, but it's not written that way because there is rhyming. There's internal rhyming. So I thought it would be fun to do two pieces that were dynamically different and just shows that range. You know, don't force yourself to be in that comfort bubble if you feel like you might want to branch out of it. Would you agree, Nyla?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I did send it to you. This one of the first spoken pieces that I ever did, and it's called Holding On, just outside Ashburg, Illinois. And there is a tie-in, as we talked about it before, the Jimmy-verse, right? We're having fun with that. There was crossovers. Mike the bartender in Sideshow Tales is actually Lorelei and Lenore's uncle. So he does have a connection to Abattoir, even though he's not a primary character there. And the hobo poet made an appearance and talked about the Wildwood. So it's fun to kind of interconnect everything or a lot of different poems together. Ashburg, Illinois, which is a made-up city, and first mentioned in this poem, has been actually mentioned that the Wildwood is near Ashburg and Temple Hollow. So there's some of that, a little bit of that connection going on. But this is quite a different piece, and this is called Holding On, just outside Ashburg, Illinois. You disrobed in a hyacinth morning amid the blossoms in the meadow, head shake, and the bronze velvet of your hair was dazzling in the early morning sun. I watched, unhindered from the Thompson's barn, eyes never wavering from your splendor. You flickered with the breeze as you danced the dance of angels. Hypnotized by your haunting beauty, I stumbled and fumbled with the latch as you looked into my eyes with shimmering orb pools, the blue of the tides, and I ran reckless down a dirty gravel road, kicking rocks in my wake. Too many mornings in the last year, I found myself here in the dilapidated barn, like a forgotten rusty pitchfork or a prolific peeping Tom, but that's not my game, nor does it begin to explain my lasciviousness, which borders on fanaticism. The fruit trees frame the day like a destry photograph, unpurged by shadows and lines, antiquities of another time, and the rhyme that flows from my lips, ancient and sublime, a capturing of moments until, like you, they are gone. I ride a freight to Ashburg, for it seems a sacrilege to drive. The countryside rolls out before me, lucid in its timelessness, buffered on the winds of unchange. Strange how the hills seem to bask in the everglow of the glory of the story of life. Stoic and quiet, as though watching, I tip the felt brim of my hat as Ashburg greets the train. Making my way through the sleepy village, I hurry as I am late. Sprinting the length of gravel, I slip into the opening of the barn, wending my way to the window, gazing out at the visage of your nakedness right before you disappear. Seems I just missed your ghost, so I trudge a forgotten path to your grave, simply to say, I'm sorry. And peace.
Wow. You know, you must have read this at some time a long time ago, because I remember parts of it, but like hearing it this time, it's like, was he just fascinated by her, or is it like, you know, did he do something to her? Because it doesn't say, you don't know.
Well, and that's the part of the magic of interpreting. I don't always like to give everything away, but I'm very open to interpretation. In fact, I'd love when I write something and I get a multitude of interpretations, because that just fuels my mind where I might go next, not necessarily with this story, but where I could take another story in a different way or another poem in a different direction. It's part of the enjoyment of it. We've said it how many times, you have to have fun doing this. If you're not enjoying writing, if you're not having a blast, you're doing something wrong. You got to rethink and shift gears a little bit, because it's got to be fun, you know, and I'm still having fun.
Mm-hmm.
The difference now between when you probably heard that before is, or the recorded version, which I recorded probably about 15 years ago, is I'm considerably older now, so it's a little more gravelly, like the gravel road that he ran on. And I don't even always have everything fleshed out in every single thing I write, but I remember specifically when I wrote this, I did not have the idea that he had done something. I think it was more sorry maybe for previous transgressions or maybe a previous rift that didn't get resolved because she had passed. So that, if that gives you any insight to it at all. But, yeah, it's one of my own personal, well, the ones from MySpace era and the first recordings are always going to have a special place, I think.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were talking about your, you know, internal rhymes and stuff like that. You did that in both of these pieces, and there was a line in the first one that I kind of marked because I wanted to go over it because it shows it perfectly. I'm always talking about how I like internal rhyme schemes, and that's something that you pick up. And I think that doing spoken word, reading your poems out loud, I think that it's something you develop and grow faster or more, or it's more, it happens more when your brain thinks out loud like that. When you're, once you start doing spoken word, you change completely. The way you write changes. And so I love it when there's near rhymes, when there's internal or random rhyme schemes. And this line you have in here where it says, gives me the damn heebie-jeebies, like my cousin Stevie used to say, I guess I'll have to pay, but for what? Right? So that is not a traditional, you know, like end-line rhyme, like most rhyming poems do. But you've got heebie-jeebie, and then in the middle of the next line, you've got the name Stevie. E sound is your internal rhyme. Yeah, and then you sit there and you say, like my cousin Stevie used to say, then you have the rhyme for it right in the middle of the next sentence. So like my cousin Stevie used to say, I guess I'll have to pay, but for what? You know, so you've got that melody in there. You've got that rhyme in there because rhymes bring people in. It's like music. There's a reason that people are so drawn to music. Okay, when you use that in your poems like that, it draws people in because they hear that sound, that it's different than like reading a textbook on how to fix an air conditioner. So that line really stuck out to me when you read it and when I was reading along with you, because that's an absolutely perfect example of doing that, using near rhymes or sound rhymes or internal rhyme schemes instead of using end line rhymes, you know, to make, because when you loosen that up, when you give yourself the freedom to do that, you know, it really can change the way you write. You did great on this one. I just wanted to point that out for people. That was awesome. Pieces were awesome.
I love internal rhyming, and you're right. See, to me, I would say this statement. Rhyming is the music of poetry, okay? It kind of like, but it can be done in a way that's not sing-songy, that, and speaking it is great, because doing spoken word to me is almost like punctuating something that, because not everybody punctuates poetry. I like to do it because it shows when somebody's just reading it flat where to pause. But the way we read silently is a skip method. Our brains skip over words and letters. It's just how there's nothing you can do about it. Listening to someone, you're forced to hear every word, every nuance. In that particular line, you know, there was a very, very brief pause, very brief, after Stevie, purposely, to kind of tie in that internal rhyme. And then lead it slowly to the next part, which was a rhyme, like you said, another non-conventional. And I think it's just great. I do think we can stretch with spoken word, and I think it does affect how our writing is. And
yeah, if you listen to song lyrics, most of the time they don't rhyme at all. If you read it on paper, you're just like, this is crap. But when you hear them sing it, they rely on those sound rhymes or the stress syllable. You know, in a word. So two words that absolutely don't rhyme at all, they use those by using a stress syllable, and you can't tell it doesn't rhyme. It's just, it's amazing. Songwriting is a really good thing to study for a poet, I think.
Absolutely, absolutely. I was most inspired by songs and songwriters before I ever started reading poetry. And then, of course, there was some inspiration that came there. But now I'm sure we could probably go on all night. But I know we have folks waiting. I do appreciate you. I love you. I am Jimmy Ray Davis, the Word Machinist. You can find me on TikTok and Instagram under the name Word Machinist. And on Facebook, my poetry page is Jimmy Ray Davis Poetry. Nyla, thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
Pleasure was mine, and thank you again for sending in that piece. It was awesome.
Absolutely. Take care, Nyla. I love you.
Love you too, hon. Okay, our next caller comes from area code 719.
419?
419, yeah, that number.
Agent. The other one.
Agent 419, you are on the air, Miss Shelley.
Oh, hello there, Nyla. How are you?
I am absolutely wonderful, sweetheart. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah, I've had better days. I just last Wednesday, I lost my best friend who lived with me for 10 years, and I took care of him, and at the end, had to be a caretaker, and God bless all those people that do, because it got really, really tough at the end, and he finally departed this earth on February 28th, but what led me up to call your show tonight was what you told me last time I called, that, you know, I could just read something I wrote, you know, years ago. Well, when Mark passed away, I came home, and my brother came, and we were looking for a certain box that he made, and 3 days before he went to hospice, which he was only there for 2 days and he died, we couldn't find that electrical cord for that blanket, and I looked all over the house, couldn't find it. The day he died, my brother's just like, oh, just why don't you look in your gun cabinet? And I'm like, what? So I opened up the gun cabinet drawer, and there's the electrical cord for the blanket that was missing. But underneath it was a poem that I wrote, and I kid you not, May 29th of 2020, for my friend Mark that had just passed away, and it's entitled The Fragility of Life. And you got to flash forward that it's now 2024. And everything that I wrote in this poem from 4 years ago just, like, was what I was feeling right at that moment. So I wanted to share
That's
it with
crazy.
You
crazy. Okay, yeah, perfect. Well, I would love to hear it.
Okay, it's called The Fragility of Life. It is kind of lengthy, so I'll only read one. But life is as fragile as a flower. Sometimes it blooms, other times it wilts. Sunshine promotes growth, reminder of brighter days ahead. Pain strikes the heart, telling myself it is only temporary, that this too shall pass. In hopes it doesn't last, I see clouds parting, I see the rainbow appear, the sun, it starts glistening on the rain droplets, symbolizing tears, accumulated on the grass. Time is of the essence, time it means so much, to make the most of every day, to always keep yourself in touch, to remain grounded, traversing your destined path. We all meet for a reason. Our reasons be are the ones that are meant to last. The sunshine, it entices our inner child, bringing them out to stay around for a while. Our past days of youth revisited upon the memories of the reminisced. The states of mind are traveled, flash forward, flash back, flash ahead, fall behind. For who really knows what the future holds? It is our past that can be relived. In our minds exist the opportunities of growth to deal with our past for our future to cope. Characters are built upon the riches of the lives that we have lived. We learn. We are the student of our own experiences, becoming the teacher with the years of age, adults educating the youth. Life is to learn. We learn to live. Living means love. Love means we give from our hearts, no matter what the cost. The gift of ourselves can never be lost. For we remain the memory imprinted in the lives of others, planting our footprints, how we touched their souls, how we loved our brothers. We all share this journey. Our embarkment is our ride, in that we are all here in this moment in time. Life, it keeps on a moving forward one day at a time. To regret nothing means a life fulfilled, to keep it real and to always be thankful for each and every single day. Today, I had an epiphany. Today, I live in prophecy. Our lives are lived in destiny, preordained. I am awakened here today, gone tomorrow, never knowing our time until it is upon us. We live, we love, we learn, we grow, we become. We, the uneducated, become life educated. The past, our past never leaves us. The shadows that haunt, the shadows remain. The future looks promising on the surface, but just for today, Reality strikes a chord somewhere deep inside. We cannot escape our life. We cannot hide. But to face the reality of our own truth, to face the grimness of our own demise, eventually this happens to all of us. We are all a part of life's will call, challenging that tomorrow again will come, that we may face yet another day. Have you thought of your finality? The answer to the question, do you want to resuscitate? Life hanging on by a thread, life having to face our final fate, understanding some things, yet some unclear thoughts run through your head. Why the question? Is my end drawing near? Is this only customary to ask? What the hell am I even doing here? Searching for God in an empty room, looking inside myself, I heard of his existence. Does he dwell inside of me? Will he be here in my final hour of need? No one else can because of COVID-19. Remember, it was written back. Life, it comes and it goes, but it was also lived. Every day a breath taken, slowly that breath over time escapes. Oxygen only providing comfort temporarily, yet it feels so foreign, the air. The end of days, they draw near. Life up to this point lately has been a blur, sticking strong to only who and what I know. Life is changing quickly. Will I be remembered when it's my time to go? The angels of death await me. I can hear the bells toll, calling out my name and number as if they already had known. Fragility is a prison, my mind behind bars, with only glimpses of what is real. The rest of my days are scattered, trying to fit the pieces together, but growing more and more confused. I know something just isn't right. I cannot pinpoint my thoughts clearly tonight. What comes, what may, my life, my plight, hanging in the in-between, the known and the unknown, the realities yet unseen. This is my life, what was expected to be. Please don't shed a tear for me. When it becomes my time, please know I lived a good life, and this life was all mine. Know also that in the end, there was nothing you nor anyone could do. Please know for everything, I was always thankful for you. And when it is my time and I must leave, please don't be sad and don't you grieve, as my destiny was chosen a long, long time ago in a land far, far away. My fate being sealed since the day I was born. Please take it as it comes and don't you mourn. When I met you, I knew you needed a friend. But also thank you for being mine too, up until the bitter end. Life is bittersweet. We take the good, we take the bad, but always needing to be thankful for all the good times had. Life has many pleasures, but disappointments too. But carry on it must. I will forever be most thankful for you. Thank you for being my friend, my goodbye, a silent teardrop from my eye. My life was lived by the drop. Please don't be sad over me. When God decides to call me home, please know that it was my time to leave. Death being my final destiny, it will one day be for us all. Please know I will be among the angels when I do hear God's beckoning call. For in this game of life, like I, the chips will always fall. Know that I love you. That is all. Hello there, my old friend. TV Rainbow.
Shelley.
It was hard to get through, but it was so true every moment that happened. I actually had to sign his do not resuscitate paperwork. Yes, I'm sorry.
Do you think it was a coincidence that you found that poem?
No, I think he led me. I think he led me to it.
So
I needed to hear it.
I think things like that happen for a reason. I want you to do me a favor tonight. I want you to make yourself a cup of tea. All right. If it's nice outside, I want you to go out and sit on the porch outside. If it's not, curl up in a chair by a window. And I want you to reread that out loud to yourself. But it's him saying those things to you. I think those are things he needs to say to you. And that's why you were led to find that poem. So I want you to reread it tonight when you're by yourself, and it's him talking to you, okay?
Yeah.
It's hard to be vulnerable like that. It's hard to share that emotion, but, you know, I don't think there's any of us out here who haven't been in a place like that. I know that I
knew
I
my husband died on November 30th, and on March passed away, with me and his brother were in the room, and I'm playing a song for him, and I'm holding him tight, and he's not breathing anymore. What time is it? And I don't know why. I mean, I had family members pass away last year, and I never asked what time it is. I know my husband died in the 11th hour, but on November 30th, and I looked at the time, and his brother was in the room, and I'm like, 11:30. He died at 11:30. My husband died on November 30th. They both were with me for 10 years. They both have a season, and now I have to flourish with the strength that they gave me. It's hard sometimes, but I felt like I knew it, but I didn't know it. I wrote those words 4 years ago.
He's going to read them back to you tonight, okay?
Yep, I'm going to do that.
And
thank you for letting me
share. Listen to those words when you read them. You know, and have
okay.
a good cry and drink your tea and pretend I'm there giving you a hug. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to sit there and give you a hug, okay?
Okay. Okay.
I am very thankful you shared that with us tonight, and I love you dearly.
Okay, thank you for letting me share it, Nyla.
You are very welcome, sweetheart. Do you want to tell everyone how to find you, baby girl?
Well, I haven't written in a long, long time. My life has been suspended, but Poetical Intrigue on Facebook right now. It's my poems, but it's all my poems I've written. So, and I'm Shelley Gambino, but Poetical Intrigue is where I put my poetry. Thank you.
All right, my sister. Love you dearly. Thank you for sharing that.
Love you. Thank you, Nyla, and I love you, and I love your show, and I thank you so much.
We'll talk to you soon, honey. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Yep, bye-bye. Bye.
Beautiful read. Getting lots of love on that in the chat room, by the way, Shelley. I don't know if you're in there or not. Can I give the next three callers? We have 731, 346, and 518 will be our next three callers. 731, my dear southern boy. I mean, man, grown-ass man, my dear southern grown-ass man. I'll try to get you unmuted
it's
here.
It's hard enough following Jimmy Ray, but I got to follow that.
You have no problems
yes.
holding your own.
No, I'm just,
you hear me?
I'm just taking it in. I'm just taking it in. I have a great deal of affection for Shelley.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I feel like she's one of our family. They prefer in that regard. So she's our poetic family. She's just family. That's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
So there.
It's really funny. I was talking to Michael earlier, or not Michael, I was talking to Jimmy earlier about when he first, you know, 18 years ago, first wrote The Wildwood, and I'm, you know, listening to Shelley talk about things, and it's like, you know, she was with us through all of that, you know, when she lost her husband, all of that stuff. You know, we've been right here. That's what this community is. You know, think about the changes and the stuff we've seen each other go through, and you know, and we're all still here together. You know, some of us for almost 20 years. That's crazy. You included. You know, I knew you before I started the show. You know, and look at everything. You know, look at the friendship we've had over all these years. That's what this community has given us. It's allowed us to continue. You know, I think about that sometimes. If the show wasn't here, if there wasn't that place or a place, not just this show, but a place where we could all join together like this, how would we all be different? Weird,
oh, gosh,
huh?
I don't know.
You know, would some of us still be friends and in contact, and we got lost along the way somewhere? Who knows? We've been there to support each other.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, I am so glad you're here. I love you. It's so good to hear your voice.
I'm at home. I'm not at work like I normally am. So I came in to my work office, and I said, well, I don't want to go on the computer looking for something to read. I'll just look over here on these stacks of papers. Surely there's something in here. Oh, heavenly days. There's over 100. Tons of stuff that I brought home and put in the stack after reading it on your show in years past. And it's really hilarious looking through this stuff. Some of it I don't even remember. I don't.
That's always
next
fun.
The next time you run into a deal where you've got 3 hours by yourself, just call me up, backdoor me in. I could do you 3 hours easily. Jimmy Ray could do you 10, but I could do you 3.
That's something that I didn't try doing that night when I couldn't get anybody on the lines. I didn't try calling out, and I thought about that later. I should have tried that.
There's some nights I think about she's going to call me back because she's short for some reason. The phone system's messed up, and she can only have people on that have been on earlier in the show. So I try to have something handy. Okay, here's something that I got from Stephanie Bradbury in 2019. This one. I have two from her. Okay, Stephanie Bradbury, she's a writer. She's one of my friends outside the speakeasy world. Hey, I can have a lot. She called this True Story. This True Story by Stephanie Bradbury. A man I met online once asked me for pictures of my shoes all lined up in rows. He had a thing for shoes, all kinds, but preferred the heavily worn ones to the new or barely worn. I considered this until he asked for specific angles and lighting and for all tied shoes to be tightly tied. And he wanted to see the black ones first. This is when I had to say no and suggested he go to a mall and take pictures of their shoes. But it's not the same, he said. No one's walked in them or thrown them in anger. They have no past lives. I think of him when I'm taking off my shoes, which is a rule. I always leave mismatched in the closet, turned to the side, and untied in peace.
And untied.
Be crazy.
That was incredible.
I loved it. She's pretty awesome. Okay, Jimmy Ray, talk about spoken word. Okay, I got something spoken word from. When is this from? 2020. There it is. I read this on Speakeasy Cafe. The date's 5-1, so it would have been the day before. It's called Amelia Ann. Just when I get my videotape in the mail and get it loaded on my laptop, Amelia Ann posts on her Facebook site that she does not want anyone to post a video on her page or her messenger mail. I mean, what's up with that? Do I have cooties or something? The video's a bunch of still photos from ancient times back in the 1960s and 70s. The process calls for the pictures to be laid out, and each one gets videoed from all available angles in hopes one or two will get sufficient light and minimal glare. Amelia Ann's my cousin. We used to travel once a year to their house in Kentucky during summer vacation. I remember they had chickens in their yard and grew tomatoes that were green on the outside and red on the inside. When the kids got put to bed, it was on a fold-out rollaway bed in the center of the living room. When Amelia Ann would start to fall asleep, she would mumble. This one time, when she was probably 7 years old, I tried to get her into a conversation while she was drifting off to sleep. All I understood from her was, "My house is haunted. I live in a haunted house." I never questioned her about that claim, but when I got these pictures from another relative, the ones I had converted to the video, I saw several pictures of Amelia Ann, and in a couple of them, she had a worried look on her face. Maybe the sun was in her eyes, or she had a toothache. I don't know. I suppose I could mail her a hard copy of the tape. There's probably a way to put music on the video. What kind of music goes on such a video? Memphis blues or Kentucky bluegrass? I could probably make still frames myself. Best to get one of the grandkids to help. Maybe we could colorize some of them. This might be fun, coloring Easter eggs, which we missed the last time around. On second thought, I'm just going to send them to her Facebook messenger. I don't have cooties, and her pictures are not haunted. That's just crazy sleep talk. MP.
You do not have cooties, and your pictures aren't haunted. That is
crazy
awesome.
Sleep talk.
Mm-hmm. It, listening to you read that, it just really takes, there was such a intimacy about MySpace, the whole community, the way we all wrote together, the things that we did. You know, and I hear that in your piece.
I learned a lot about myself there.
Mhm.
Mhm.
Fantastic job, my love.
Thank you.
Are the fireflies out yet?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. Not
Let me
out.
Know when they
what
are.
Is out right, what is out is out right now. It's the most hated, dreaded thing in the state. The pear trees are blooming.
Uh oh. Allergies.
Yeah. Yes, yes, it's solid white everywhere. It's like getting snowed on. And it doesn't seem to bother me anymore. Some people, it just breaks their heart. Technically, I'm sorry, I should have said Bradford pears. Have you ever seen them?
I no, but I think there's a poem waiting to be written in there.
No, there is not. I'm not going to shout out to those things. They break... They're heartbreakers, I'm telling you. I know people that won't go outside for 3 or 4 weeks. They don't have to. I'll take you a picture of them so you can see.
I am so glad I don't have allergies. I don't, with my the way things I do in life, no way. I'd be devastated. Michael, my darling love, tell everyone how to find you, honey.
You can find me at miketodd.blogspot.com. That's M-Y-K-E-T-O-D-D.
Perfect. All right, sweetheart. You did a fantastic job tonight. Thank you.
Thanks for your time this time. Until next time, so long.
Bye, honey.
Bye.
To Michael. Michael Todd, my firefly. Okay, next caller. Or let me give you the next ones. We have 346, 518, and 531. So 346, you are on the air.
Good evening, Nyla.
Hello, Miss Emmy. How are you, sweetheart?
I am fabulous. Thank you for asking.
You're very welcome.
So
what do you have for
you
us tonight?
I was going to say, I guess you don't have a headache tonight.
Actually, I was smart and took some aspirin before the show, or ibuprofen before the show, so we're good.
Okay. Anyway, so this is a new piece. I think I posted it last week, but new for your show. It's called Women Warriors. We are hidden in plain sight. We are mothers, wives, single, divorced, and widows. We work in various positions and industries. It's not celebrated or recognized. We provide food, lodging, and clothing for our children. We cook, clean, and pray over our families. We are our children's first teachers. We stand by our men, helping them in various ways. We are entrepreneurs, doctors, lawyers, police, and housewives. We have fought in various wars throughout history, won many battles, and died in many defeats. Our blood has been spilled in protecting our country and in defending our families. We are warriors, tirelessly for our children and men, struggling to provide, protect, and cover our entire household in prayer, staying up all night praying on our teenagers and young adult children, fasting, singing praises to our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. In order for them to be safe and our lovers, boyfriends, husbands also to be safe, in addition for all to prosper and achieve. We sacrifice sleep and various other things to make sure our families are covered by the Lord's blood and so that our families have what they need to thrive. We will forgive the worst behaviors from our children and loved ones, wrenching decisions to help those we love over anything else that we might want or may bring us comfort. We are the unsung heroes across this planet. We have saved many lives. We love and we have saved many souls. We have stood up to pain and misery in its many forms to ensure a brighter day to our families. We have been used, abused, and neglected by those we loved and helped, never hearing a thank you or an apology. We just push forward. We rarely complain or discuss our inner pain, struggles, misery, or traumas. We give advice and guidance to the youth and hold the elders' hands through their darkest moments. We smile when our hearts are broken. We cry deeply within our hearts. We rejoice and celebrate everyone's victories. Rarely do we receive praise for our achievements and accomplishments. Society just expects us to do. We are doctors healing the broken. We are pharmacists dosing out hugs and remedies to overcome life's challenges. We are lawyers bringing justice to an unfair world. We are women. We give birth to a society. It is through us life is formed. We have been undervalued throughout the centuries. We have been tortured, raped, and murdered. When was the last time you told your grandmother, aunt, sister, mother, wife, or even your daughter, how much you appreciated them, how much you valued them, what they mean to you? When was the last time you brought them some flowers or a gift just because? No holiday, no birthday, just because you love and appreciate them. How much respect do you show to any female? Not just family, but any woman. Do you regularly call them bitches and whores or hoes? Women are absolutely warriors to one degree or another. We fight constantly to be understood, valued, and respected. We fight continuously for our families to have a good and decent life. We fight the elements of Satan and his demons through the spiritual realm, keeping ourselves and our various loved ones safe. When have you offered to help assist a female without expecting anything in return? When have you fought for a woman you don't know? Have you seen injustice being done against a female and spoke up? Have you noticed some woman who is all alone and actually step up to visit them, to perhaps offer to mow their lawns or take them to the grocery store. There are women across this planet achieving silent victories. They are doing amazing work without a thank you. They are providing for themselves with a helping hand. We are unseen, unvalued, unappreciated, and still we push forward daily. No matter there may be, any woman is the unsung heroine. Look around, open your eyes to the phenomenal women in your life and who surround you. Women are warriors. Musings of Amelia T. Davis, a.k.a. Poetical Angel Queen, and peace.
That was so powerful.
Thank you.
A lot of women are applauding you right now.
You know, March is Women's History Month, and so, you know, I felt inspired to write that. But a couple of years ago, I wrote a whole bunch of bios on various women and not too many responses, but, you know, I'm resharing them, and hopefully people will step up and read them. So the next poem is called Diamond Love, and it's a much older poem, but I just wanted to bring it tonight. Diamond Love. Consequently, much pain in the world. People are lost, hearts broken, tears falling like a waterfall. I have is precious, superior than diamonds or gold. There is your love. There is your dedication. There is your shining face in the morning. You bring elation to the bitterest of days. Your smile makes my heart leap with joy. Your quintessence is superior above all others. You bring tranquility to a troubled mind. You are suave to a broken heart. Your voice beacons me to a land of melodies. I am proud to see your eyes dance at delight when you are glancing upon my face. Your hugs sweep me away to a protected place that is warm and cozy. You're dependable, trustworthy, reliable, and prudent. Loving, sensuous, delicious, intoxicating. Let us hold hands and walk into the future. Guide me to the stars. That is the home for our love. Scatter rose petals along the walkway to a life of love. Make a love nest of sweet kisses, longing hugs, songs of delight. I am safe and sound in your lover's land. I am the queen and you are the king. Let us rule with heart so loving and true. Make me yours forever, darling dear. Musings of Amelia T. Davis, a.k.a. Poetical Angel Queen, and peace.
Darling dear. Only a Southern woman would say darling dear. You have that. You have that sweet soul, my dear.
Thank you. Yeah, well, since it's also Women's Month, bring a little sweetness as well to the airwaves. So, by the way, did you find the email with the tracks that I sent you?
I did not find them. Please resend them because I've searched through them, but then I get distracted and I haven't found them yet.
Okay. So before you start fussing at me, everybody can find me on Facebook under Emilia T. Davis, EmiliaTDavis, a.k.a. Poetical, P-O-E-T-I-C-A-L, Angel Queen. Emilia T. Davis, a.k.a. Poetical Angel Queen. I have a like page on Facebook. I have pages, personal pages on Facebook. You can Google me. I am Googleable. I am on pretty much every social media site. And with that said, I also want to say that I'm here every Thursday night with Nyla. And to Nyla, I love and appreciate everything you do for us, all your tenderness, your love, working so hard to keep everything going and keeping this show up. It is phenomenal that you have 17 years on the air. That is better than any other poetry radio show or network running. And so
you know that
we are one of the
longest running shows on Blog Talk. Did you know that?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You have accomplished much, and you've worked so tirelessly for us, and I just want to thank you, and God bless you. And with that said, I'll step off. Oh, one more thing, with Stanley Phillips, have you heard anything? And if anybody's listening right now, like Wiley, has anybody heard from Stanley Phillips over the past 2 years? Because I've been trying to find out if he's okay. And everybody I've talked to has not heard from him. Stanley Phillips, he's an amazing poet.
He's, as far as I know, he's okay. I talked to George, and he's okay. He's just going through some life.
Okay, cool. Well, God bless George, and God bless Stanley. And with that said, I shall step off the mic.
All right, sweetheart. Appreciate you, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you. All right. Our next caller, we're halfway through the show. We still have quite a bit of lineup here. I'm going to keep my the minimum, you guys. I want to make sure you all get heard. That's most important. So you can still read two normal poems or one long one, but I'm not going to chat a lot. I'm just going to get you guys on, okay? Next caller comes from area code 518. 518, you are on the air.
Hello, Nyla.
Hello, sweetheart. How are you? Miss Prompt Queen.
I had to get everybody going, you know. But this is Karen DeWitt, and you can find me anywhere or go on your Desk Writer. I've been everywhere and am everywhere. But like I said, I was just trying to get everybody going, and I got some people going, so...
You did. And some great prompts tonight. I appreciate everything. It was fun. It was really fun for
me
to sit there and watch all the little ping, 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 Karen, ping, Karen, ping, Karen. Like, what'd she want? I go over there and I grab another one, put it on the list. You did awesome. Thank you.
I got one piece, and it's quite long. But first, I have to read something from Todd Carter that he sent me to read to you guys. You know, he's been going through some stuff, so he's been away. And I was supposed to read it the Thursday, but the lines were down. So he says, by the way, Karen, my broham, my gym bro, sent me an awesome heartfelt message that made me feel like $1 million and made me truly realize the awesome artist that became best friends. Sight unseen that made MySpace. You, Jimmy Ray, Rose, Audrey, Nyla, Barbara, David, too many to list. I love each and every one of you. And that's what he wrote for me to tell you guys. And my piece coming up doesn't have a title, but it only took me like 3.5 minutes to write, but it is quite long. So whenever you're ready, let me know.
Please go ahead when you're ready, honey.
Okay. The devil lays down, a beggar, deathless, under a spell, fallen from grace, a corpse on the boulevard. smug behind the collar of darkness at 3:34 a.m. Cockeyed against the powder, pine, and fiery vines that tied Annie to the trusses, swinging chaplet crosses, devolving upon the spirits of Purgatory's lips. From there, she saw her life. Before flushed cheeks, corkscrews grows blind and clear as mud, withers by the sight of humbleness. Crumbling headstones bequeath her black and blue eyes, staring into oblivion. She tried to be a bride to a monstrous man, the devil, but the echoing bellows from below sank into the orchard, and hell did rise. He came with a hot-blooded tongue, smacking his blistered lips, blood spewing from the corners of his sinister smile, and it scared the spectators to their graves of dirt and snickers. Like a sinkhole with paralyzed bodies, distributing its weight on faulty balance beams, eyes glazed over by an immortal pitchfork in hand, wrinkled and old. He rose to diamond-like mantles when the dust did die down. She could be seen softly singing assiduous hymns, whispering between two lungs, the matted abrasions pelting from her dainty, damaged flesh. A skeleton, a cadaverous barrage on a cold surgical basin with heart tremors and broken speech, aloof and nonchalant. An abyss swiftly fell into a ledger's crack, dead with a godly bark, fallen while she wept with hollowed bowl-like eyes, stomping booms and a sleepy clog. A surgeon's china conveys the movement of utter disease, as it does dwindle and stop no matter the amount of prayer. Her life was numb and pathetic. Ambulance drones batter. 9:13 expired. The nurse bleeds on the chart with cerise fingertips. Cold steel rays clamor with the feelings of words, drowning in a bootless room in an abandoned mortuary. Claw and tools clunk to the table with a spent crucifix and clay carvings beside his soiled white coat. No longer a puppet with strings gracefully dead, a body in stupor, she was laid to rest in an unmarked tomb at Harding Cemetery. Neither he or a visitor with flowers stopped by her plot, just crows weeping from the branch above. End poem. And
wow.
As I said, you can find me everywhere and anywhere. Just type in Death Writer or Care Duet in the search bar.
Fantastic job on that, Karen. I am so glad. You sound really good, by the way, and I'm so glad you were able to call in. And I seriously had a blast hanging out with you this afternoon while I was doing show prep. It was fun.
Yeah, I caught you laughing, so I got you laughing. That's all that matters.
I love you, sis, so much. Tell everyone how
love
to find
you,
you again.
On Twitter, that other thing, what's it called? Oh, my God. Well, whatever. I'm either Death Writer or Karen DeWitt, and most people can find me by Death Writer. If you look up the magazine, it's called Emotion, E-M-O-S-H-U-N, and it features new and old artists of any artistry. You can find me there, too. I'm real easy
awesome.
To find. But you have a good night.
All right,
everybody
sis.
Have fun.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye, sweetheart. Okay, our next caller comes from area code 513. They're going to be followed by 815. Or no, my written down numbers. We have 513, that's right, 513, 815, 216, And then we've got 731, just so you know. Okay. 513, are you with me, Miss Scarlett?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hi, Nyla. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. Welcome to the show. I'm so glad you called in tonight.
Yeah, I'm glad I could get in. I have two shorter ones for you.
Okay.
So I guess I'll just go ahead and get them out of the way so that we can get more awesome poets on here. Okay, so here's the first one. You washed over me like the ocean, a wave of pure emotion, and like the sand beneath, unsteady and depleting, I lost myself in you. Always searching for the surface, only to be pulled away by the riptide you call love. Breathing in your lies and forcing them to be oxygen. I learned to survive in your monsoon, swimming a fine line between the sandbar and my salvation. End poem.
Wow. That was a very, very powerful ending. That was a great poem.
This next one's called Kink, and it's not what you think it is. But it's called Kink, and it's just kind of about just a little bit about my like upbringing in a weird way. But it's short, not too long. So here you go. Should I be ashamed of what I feel? Catholicism told me to kneel, to pray and beg as I plead and bay. Feel guilt for feeling. To feel guilt for a feeling God gave me to embrace. I in his image. I in his sight. Give me freedom. Give me life. And you want me to say sorry for my body. I was given to be saved. I was given to live. When being a good human means paying my dues, not loving my brother and sisters who knew. I won't feel guilty, not one moment more. I have a kink for loving humanity more than an absent Lord. End poem.
Wow. You know, it's writing a poem. One of the hardest things I think about writing a poem is having an ending that's a nail. You know, having a really strong,
yeah,
powerful ending that just slam and stops it right there, and it's just kind of that moment where you're done and just sucks your breath. For those, you're very good at that. Both of those
thank
had
you,
very
thank you.
Very powerful, strong, right between the eye endings.
Thank you. I stumbled a little bit on this last one because I literally just wrote it earlier today, so I'm still getting a feel for it. But sometimes you just feel something so strongly and it just comes out on paper. And I will say a lot of times I'll rewrite, but sometimes it just hits perfectly. And this one just felt like one
mm-hmm.
that was perfect where it needed to be.
I think it was amazing. I agree.
Thank you, Nyla. I hope you have a fantastic night and I can't wait to hear all the other poets. You can find me on majority of all of the socials, Scarlett Lay Ripberger, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. I'm on all those. And then I also have a book out on Amazon, and that you can find that on Amazon or on my link in any of my bios.
If you think about it, please post the link for your book on my page so it's easy for people to find.
Yeah, I was on your page the other day, and I was trying to do that, and I was struggling. It wouldn't let me comment on anything. So I'll have to figure that out.
Are you following me, or are you on my friends list?
I'm following you.
Okay, send me a friends invite, and then you,
okay.
Yeah, if you send me a friends invite, then it'll let you comment.
Perfect. I'll do that, Nyla. Thank you, and I hope you have a good night.
You as well. Great job tonight, sweetheart. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so our next caller comes from area code 815. 815, you're on the air. Five, are you with me? I don't hear anything. 815, are you muted?
I'm cooking. Yeah, I was tasting. Yeah, I was tasting my food. I'm sorry, I'm cooking. Hey, sis.
How are you doing?
Happy
what are you cooking?
Here. Happy Thursday.
Happy
okay,
Thursday
so
to
right
you.
Now I have wild mushrooms and romaine tomatoes, red onions, green onions, white and yellow onions, cilantro, and I don't know what else. Oh, and garlic, and minced garlic in a skillet. So what I do is I cook it down, I put it in a container. It is airtight, and I use it so that I can season things. It's like the, you know, the background to the foreground of my dish. And oftentimes that becomes the filling for my veggie omelet.
Yummy, yummy, yummy. Okay, now Phoebe,
yeah,
some poetry.
That's what's on the stove. Yes. Okay, okay, okay. So I wrote a piece a couple of days ago, and I'm writing pieces to two of your prompts, but I want to do a piece for women because March is Women's History Month. So I'm going to do two, and I'm going to be in and out like a robbery. The first one is On My Mama. Let me see, what day did I write this? I just wrote this. I wrote this on the 4th, and today is the 7th, so 3 days ago. Here we go. On My Mama, don't. Never have, will I ever play. See, my mama is everything on any given day. A lovely queen. I miss recess and PE, and many of them who are listening know this already. I am not athletic. So there were days when I had to just simply work in the office. But I still, at 54, have these arthritic hands that can land a right hook or a left-handed jab because I'm ambidextrous. And I hate disrespectful, mouthy children, even when they're adults on paper. So watch your mouth and conduct when it's my mom that you're having a talk. See, mom was offended by your conduct. It was corrupt. 24 on your next birthday, if you're lucky. You acted like you were feeling froggy. Jump. Please do. I assure you, I can go higher than a Category 5 hurricane, and I assure you that even the tornadoes that come through here in Tornado Alley in Illinois will not be able to stop me if I decided I wanted to touch down with you. So please believe that you having sex, giving birth to a child, or the years that you lived on Earth, all of them matter not to me. To me, you are a reckless child who's gone wild, and I choose to be nonviolent, but don't test me or try me. Because on my mama, if she's hurt, I cry. If she's upset, I know why. Only her siblings and I know what makes her tick. Try me. It'll be the last thing that you do, I promise you, chick. Even if the sleight of hand was on your side, you could never again use your black girl magic. And it's tragic because I'll be pulling the running trick, even though you were foul and you were not slick. Throw punches make me giggle. And I beat that ass like you were little. Because you seem to realize or believe that your whiteness is TV. But you have been calling us, Barbara and Regina, thinking that it was cute, pretty as it pretty does, and that for you never compute. So you messed around and pulled something that was ugly, honey. Seriously, you ain't even completely white, your half. So this is insane for me for you to have this level of disrespect. But that's okay, because I'm your auntie on the black side of your family. I need to remind you that I'm Aunt Jeannie. That is my name for you. And if you give me or my mom anything else, then I will bring the storm. Because Jeannie is my name. The storm is my name. In peace.
Yes, indeed it is. That was awesome.
Thank you. So my niece was acting like my mom was being extra when she was holding her great nephew for the first time. He was born on Christmas Day last year. And I didn't go to the party, and I'm glad I didn't, because if I had, I would be wearing an orange jumpsuit right now. So my second piece,
right?
Moving on, we're just going mm-hmm. to preface that violence with the fact that I still am a poet. So I wrote that out of necessity, And I wrote this because being a woman means the world to me. And I wrote this piece on March 6, 2017. Queens, doing all the wonderful things that you do, you're empowering each other and building, raising princes and princesses successfully, whether or not you have a king. You're working towards goals, achieving success educationally. You're getting what you must do daily. You're always being a lady, understanding our roles in the family, religion, and life. For some of us, it's not the same thing. And currently, I'm aspiring to be another king's wife. But if I never get married again, I still will stand on my own two feet because I'm going to say it again, queens. I, too, am a queen. We are nurturers and gardeners who bring forth life, avoiding conflict and strife, adorned with the beauty that comes from sun kisses and our parents. So, every miss or missus, each teacher, nurse, and artist, you represent what on this earth is heaven sent. I love the queen that I've become. I'm grateful for my mom and for my daughter, my aunts and many cousins, my village and the tribe who raised me to be the queen that I was due to be. So I have strong family ties in my family, and I love our history. I'm thankful for the struggle, grateful for the knowledge. I empower the strength, and I'm humbled by this gift. I celebrate women each and every day of my life because this is March, and it is Women's History Month. So I'm celebrating us through poetry, and I pray that you are honored by me. I'm Gina Storm. Thank you for indulging me. In peace.
Thank you for indulging us with that.
I love being
hot poetry.
I'm a girly
hot poetry
girl.
Right out of the
thank
kitchen.
Yes. Love you, sis. I mean, I was legit blowing the sample on the spoon so I could taste it when you said 815, and I'm thinking, oh, snap, that's me.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Gina Storm is a mutant. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes I'm mutating, but 9 times out of 10, I heard you. I just need to get my mic off mute. You can find me, Gina with the knees, Storm like inclement weather, or sunshine on a rainy day, any and everywhere you find poetry. This Saturday night, come through at 8 Central, 9 Eastern, to the Epiphany Network. Check out me and Just Jay with the Gina Show over there, that network, where we're going to have conversation and poetry, and we also play MP3s of spoken word tracks because we're not DJs, we're PJs, we're poem jockeys. So check us out. The calling number is 319-527-6300, and I will put it on your page. Now, I love you. See you next week. I was sick last week, but I'm back.
I love you too, sis. We'll talk to you soon, honey. Thank you.
Absolutely. You're welcome. Bye-bye. Bye-bye now.
All right. Our next caller. Mama, are you there?
No. Not here. I'm there.
Well, as long as you're with me, that's all I care about.
Come on, are you there? No, I'm here. I got a poem for you, though. I got 2 poems for you.
Okay.
And this one I went to my Poetry Soup page and got this one. And the person's name I mentioned, you're going to have to look it up yourself because I'm not going to give you any more details. The name of this piece is called I Pray There Is a Hellfire. I pray there is a hellfire. No more do I long for the river, and I shan't play in the sea. I won't step foot on the water. That's not the life for me. My hero is Jeremy Wade and all of his insight. I can now avoid malaria and parasites. Sight flight. Flee the fleas and parasites. I now have insight and a healthy fear of malaria and COVID-19. I need deep lotion when living near lakes and near oceans. river monsters, fish demons, the answers are clear. Stay clear of squid, depth and leagues under earth's liquid. No more do I long for the river. I shan't play in the sea. I won't step foot in the water. That's not the life for me. My hero is Jeremy Wade, with all of his insight about river monsters. I can now avoid malaria and parasites, but now, how do we avoid humans in cars with flashing lights? Humans killing humans. We can now avoid parasites and demons living leagues under the sea. Jeremy spoke about cannibals and said, pork tasted closest to human flesh at best. People contend with plenty conditions, and the echoes of the wind, of the wild wind is so near. Pythons near playgrounds causes fear. There are squads to remove them when in fact the wild appears too near. In America, it's not the bugs or the fish or alligators that be our predators. It's the white hunters. I am afraid they prey on human prey. They wear blue uniforms or white sheets, and we cannot spray them with DEET. They don't kill to eat, but out of hate. They have been known to feed our babies to the gators, and the other day, one white lady coughed deliberately in a Spanish baby's face. What a disgrace. Oh, God, I pray there is a hellfire. And a hero appears in this place. Oh.
You know, I know who Jeremy Wade is. And I remember the first time I watched his show, it was like, he's hot. He reminds me of, and you guys will think I'm really weird, but he reminds me of Billy Idol. His face, the way his mouth moves, talks and everything, reminds me of Billy Idol, which I think is incredibly hot. So, yeah. I love the poem. Now you got me thinking about Jeremy.
Okay. Well, I hope somebody gets to know him because he's very informative about things we wonder about, but we don't really understand so much. So thank you for that. Now, my next poem is, okay, it's going to be more uplifting. I have a new social worker that comes and checks on me, and so she's from Israel, and we just really got along really well, and so she wanted to hear one of my poems. So this is the one I read to her, and when I finished reading to her, she had like tears in her eyes. She's like, "You're a poet. You're really a poet. You're a good poet." So I said, "Well, let me read this one." So since I read it to her, somebody that really helped me in this particular piece. It's called A Better Me. If I examined or compared myself to the greatest person that ever was, that would place no feather in my cap. If I became greater still than Muhammad Ali, still, that would be no proof nor treasure in my lap. If I sailed the ocean, navigated without a map, measured up to the greatest captain that ever sailed the sea, I still would not feel fantabulous like my worth on earth complete. To thine own self be true is the universal law. Unless I feel my own two shoes and stand on my two feet, the task is to fulfill my purpose now or my purpose I defeat. To know my what, my who, my how. Many before me were great. On that, I must agree. And from them, I've been inspired to strive to live higher. To know the righteous workings of my soul is my only test. Is being better than myself, to be my all-time best. The Creator hears my plea. God, make the best of me. Let me be true to me, because the only person I need to strive to be better than is me.
Is me. You know, there's a lot of wisdom in that. I can just imagine her sitting there listening to you read that and her jaw just going, yep.
We both kind of shed tears. She's supposed to be my social worker. It's the first time I met her, and we just really got along like sisters. She's from Jerusalem, but the major part of it, I can't remember the name of what she said, the major city there. I know it when I say it, but I can't say it right now because I can't think. So, yeah, so my doctor's been sending me social workers and what else, these other people, therapists and all kinds of people. But I don't think nobody's going to do a good job like that until Gina and Nyla come to Cleveland. And that's when I'll be filming, like, you know, somebody's here to help me. She did one little box of jewelry and showed me how to, and then she's like, no, we're not going to do that. We got like 20,000 more boxes to go through. She's like, we did one little bag. She said, just go through them. She said, anything you don't want, just throw it away. I'm like, okay. So that's what you're getting paid for, right? So me and my doctor.
No, we don't listen to her. You'll throw your jewelry away. What?
No, anything I don't want, throw it away. Like that's your job, to just come and tell me, go through them by yourself, and then when you get something you don't want, just throw it away. I'm like, wow, good advice. You get paid for that? No. Yeah, occupational therapy. You did one box with me, and then all these other 20,000 boxes, you just looked around like, nope, not me. And then she said, well, my mother was a craft person, too. She said, so I know, you know, within those boxes. I know you just go through them yourself and throw everything away. So I'm like waiting on Gina. And I really come because I know I'm going to go through the boxes and have more fun together. So that's my two pieces. Thank you for letting me share. And something else I meant to tell you, but I can't remember. Oh, I know what it is. I'm still waiting on my granddaughter's body to be returned from Guatemala. It hasn't shown up yet. The American Embassy is supposed to give a ticket to the shipping company, and those two entities have not gotten their paths or whatever. I don't know. It's just a long,
they
hard
haul.
They
haven't got their shit together.
Whatever. I don't know. I've never seen such a mess. So I'm still in limbo, waiting with a wildly beating heart. And so they got me on a lot of drugs and stuff that some of the drugs don't even agree with me, making me feel worse. But they say I only got like 70% of my arteries open. So I'm living on 30%, y'all. So keep me in your prayers. And remember that the poetry that I told you, the only person you need to be better than is yourself. One love.
Amen. And that's why you're Bama. All right, I'm going to try calling you again. I've been trying to call you this week, and it's been weird. So I'm going to try again tomorrow. Watch for me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I love you, Mama.
Thank you.
Vicky Aqua, Facebook.
Okay. Poetry Soup. No, not
or Vicky
Facebook.
Harrington.
Because some weird guy that I let print my books out for me, commandeering my pages, and he ended up in Jimmy Ray's page, and Jimmy Ray's like, what the heck is this? It's like it looks like it's me sending this weird guy to people's pages. So you see a weird guy in a red shirt looking really strange. I'm not doing that. He's commandeering my page. I gave him permission to get some forms out a long time ago and print my books up for me. And he's doing the most now. So, and then when I go to his phone to call him to ask him what the heck is going on, he's got a picture, a meme of me on his old phone number, winking, like, gotcha, you know. So I guess he's going to try to publish my poems. I guess he heard I got one foot in the grave, and so therefore he's going to take advantage of that. But the good thing is I've been on Nyla's program for 14 years. So I can prove a lot of stuff is mine just from Facebook and from this show alone. So everybody kind of knows my stuff. And that's why I sent that prompt in today about embrace your vulnerability. So that was my prompt. And I hope all of you are, you know, look around and find out where you're vulnerable and just embrace it and know that, you know, we're all vulnerable to a certain extent, especially when we trust and depend on other people that don't really care about us. Thank you.
You're very welcome, Mama. And I'll talk to you tomorrow, okay?
Aye.
All right. Bye.
And I want to say one more thing. The lady, what's her name, that read the poem about looking for God in a room about her friend that passed away.
Shelley.
Read that poem. Shelley, yes. I love her work. I love her. She's an awesome poet. I just got to say that. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night, Mama.
Good night.
All right, let's go ahead and grab area code 731. 731, you are on the air.
Oh, my God. Hi.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show.
Hello. I cannot believe I'm actually doing this. Okay, I'm really excited. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. I know Jimmy's been really excited about getting you on here. Go ahead and introduce yourself to people. Tell them who you are.
I go by Muddy Root Poet. I'm on TikTok. And I like to write. That's pretty much it.
What are you going to share with us tonight?
I'm going to share two small poems. I'm going to share two small poems, I think, if that's okay.
Yes,
this
please.
One is called Speak to Me in Poetry. To me in poetry, want me in the lines of verse as I read what is said without saying it. Don't say it. Chase me. Like an idea on a page to be laid down only in ink. Gently, purposefully. The mastery of a prompt always on the edge of greatness but never fully finished. I have burned and been burned by many lovers and their faces no longer hold a place in my heart. But words are constant. And when the glitter of the new page wears off and the idea is no longer the nagging thing begging to be played out, words will stay. Words won't leave. Love the idea of me and words alone. In poem.
That was beautiful.
Thank you so much.
That was absolutely beautiful. I mean, there's a sensualism there. There's romance. There's passion. That was beautiful.
I'm breaking out in hives. I normally read in our little I'm the co-host of the Writers Guild on TikTok with Tyler. So we have our little group of like 15 to 20 people. And I don't know why this feels so much more scary, but it is.
You know, we're just hanging out. We have all kinds of crazy stuff happen here. We're just hanging out and having fun. And, you know, we don't always do it pretty, but we do it. So there's no pressure here. I mean, it's called the speakeasy. It's like a coffee shop. You're coming out the coffee shop, and you're sitting down, and you're having coffee or tea or whatever with your friends, and it's just fun and relaxed and no scary, I promise.
Yes, yes, yes. No scary. And once I get comfortable, it won't be as scary, but it's still scary. Okay, I'm going to read another one that kind of goes along the same theme. And this one is called Upon a Shelf. If in this life my hand never knows what it means to stroke your chest in some moonlit room, I hope I can at least stroke your mind. I desire to be your insatiable word, always right there. At the tip of thought and tongue, waiting on a shelf somewhere to be touched by your fingers along my spine. I drink the ink of your pen and mine, attempting to make my body your notebook. Cover me in poetry. Write me into your heart, devouring pages top to bottom and bleeding me dry so you can finally look down. Hold me between your palms and reading the lines in dim light, call me yours, while bringing me lazily to your lap. In the depths of night, all blood bleeds black. End poem.
What a killer ending line. That was awesome.
That was actually a prompt.
That was beautiful.
That was Tyler's prompt for our Poetry Guild. We had to do we had to use one of those lines, and then we had to write a poem that went along with the line of a song. And so there's a song by Connor Oberst that has a line in it that I keep drinking the ink from my pen. And so I tried to use two prompts in one.
That's incredible. You know, to be able to have that be the prompt is even cooler, because to be able to write a poem where that's like the perfect anchor for it, done a really good job. You know, a lot of times when we're writing with prompts, we're trying to fit them in somehow and work them in, and it doesn't always happen organically or naturally or smoothly, and that was seamless.
Thank you so much. I don't know what to do with that type of compliment. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And I don't bullshit. People know when they're having smoke blown up their ass. You know, I think that one of the reasons that we've been here as long as we've been here really is because we're really chill, you know, and I don't bullshit people. If I say something, I mean it with all my heart. And, you know, the support you get from the community and the friendships and everything like that, it's all real. You know, there's no pretentiousness here. There's no, you know, facade of I have to be so cool and you know, I've got to read my poems like William Shatner or something. You know, we hang out, we have cool, and we support each other. And so, yeah, I forget where I was going with that, but that's probably enough said.
No, I've been creeping for a couple of weeks, Nyla, and I'm such a fan of you. Like, I just want to be your friend. I just think you are so amazing. I can't tell you how many writing tips I've heard at the beginning of the show that I'm like, oh, that's so good. So thank you for hosting this space, and thank you for letting me be here. And thank you all my friends, for the positive peer pressure, for making me do it. I
appreciate you so much. If you're not on my Facebook page, send me a friend's invite. That way I can send you reminders for the show.
Okay, I sure will. Thank you so much.
Awesome. You're welcome, sweetheart. Welcome to an amazing debut. Hey, wait a minute. Come back. Wait. Okay, I think I've got her back. Did you tell us how to find you?
Hello?
Oh, I did the wrong one. Hang. We'll come back and get you in a minute, okay?
Okay.
Oh, God, where am I? All right. So I'm going to go ahead and give the lineup just so that we know where we are. We have 512 as our next caller, followed by 609. Oh, that's Paul. And then 602, who I just accidentally unmuted. Oops. Sorry. Okay. 512, you are on the air.
Hey, Nyla, can I get you some cream with that coffee?
Yes, please.
I love that. We're all just sitting around a coffee shop. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's been that way. I don't know if you were here for our anniversary show, but the whole beginning of the show started out from a bulletin I put on MySpace years ago talking about going to a coffee shop called the Speakeasy Cafe. And Jimmy was a part of that. He kept it going with me. And it's all from that post about stopping in at this coffee shop called the Speakeasy that was the catalyst to us being here right now tonight. So, you know, when I talk about it being a coffee shop, it really is. That's the, you know, like my page, that's the bulletin board in the coffee shop. You guys post your books on there. You post your links on there. You can go post a poem on there if you want. You know, it just really is that atmosphere. And I love it.
Very cool. Well, I don't have a haiku tonight. I just have one poem. And it's kind of medium in length. So...
Wait, we got a lot of new people here tonight, so you have to introduce yourself.
Oh, yeah. Okay. This is LJ Gorecki, and better known as the Percolating Poet. the title of this poem is called Worn Tapestry. She stands at the mirror, and scowls at her gray-white hair, pulls her half-empty tube of her go-to sienna red lipstick from her purse and shakily glides it around her thinning lips. "The lights are so bright in here," she mutters to herself as she returns the lipstick into her faded makeup bag. She eyes her compact and container of blush, deciding not to fuss with them today. For today was just another visit to the doctor, and she's only going to return to the one-bedroom flat where she's lived alone ever since the soul of her beloved Ben left her side 11 years earlier. Back home, she wearily unpacks her day onto the kitchen counter. She goes over to her favorite worn floral tapestry easy chair, gently descends in and sighs. As her eyes are once again drawn to the picture of her with a younger Ben and others of her smiling grandchildren on the side table, she felt so deflated as it suddenly occurred to her she hadn't seen her son or his growing family in 3 years. She only hears from him on holidays now, and since her hearing isn't so good anymore, their conversations are awkward and short. When they were both younger, they talked about more than just her health and the weather. She looked away from the photos. She was so very tired today, and she had nothing to do tomorrow. So she nestled back in her chair, gently rested her neck and head upon the soft, worn tapestry pillow atop her favorite worn tapestry chair and surrendered to a final sleep that at long last launched her born-again second-chance dreams. And peace.
Wow. Wow, that gets you right in the feels, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That reminded me of mom. I think my mom was in that poem.
How many of you are really thinking about calling your mom right now?
I wish I could. So do it if you can.
Yeah.
But I can be reached at allpoetry.com as the percolating poet. And that's it for tonight. I'll talk to you next week.
Did a great job, honey. Appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Tonight is so much fun, you guys. All right. 6:08, it is now your turn. Come join me, please. Or 609. Are you with me, 609? Are you muted?
I am now. Hello, Nyla. This is Paul Sampson, a.k.a. Divine Inspiration. How's it doing?
Hi, Paul. How are you, honey? I'm doing wonderful. It's good to hear from you. It's been a little bit.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to get back here, but you know how things go. But I made it tonight.
You know, it's okay if life gets in the way. Just know that when you're not here, there's always a place at the table set for you. When you're not here, we're with you, okay?
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. You need to get out of my head, young lady.
What I
do? The 24th, I think it is, of this month. I'm doing a haiku night on the Inspiration Factory.
I love writing haiku.
And I'm scared to death of them. You know, I had a freestyle fun day a couple of Sundays ago, so everybody had to freestyle something. And, you know, that's not one of my things either. So I'm trying to step out of my comfort zone here and there. So we're going to do a haiku night in a couple of weeks.
Do me a favor.
And I'm not. Yes.
I want you to email me two of your poems. Or message me two poems of yours, okay?
Okay.
And give me the date on your, give me a date on your haiku night. I want to show you something.
Wow. Okay, cool. Okay. I definitely do that. As soon as I do these two pieces, I'm going to send it right away. You got me curious now. Now, let me see. The first one, it's not too bad. I'll let you be the judge of whether I can do a second one or not. The second one's not as long. That's one to the prompt I wrote while I was listening to the show. But this one was for a prompt a few weeks back on another show where we were prompted to write a love letter to Black history. Excuse me. So this is my response to that. And it's called I Remember. To whom it may concern, I wanted to pass on something passed on to me, something that describes a forgotten genetic instinctual power fused with the DNA of humanity, formed from the firmament that filled what was once void, the very essence of earth, its soil, and the breath of God himself, birthed the existence, the first appearance, if you will, of human, perfection from the start, melanated, glistening, walking and talking in companionship with God. And that right there is the source of our less than satisfied, untapped wealth. We holler about tap that asset, but not willing to tap that asset that lies abandoned and forgotten, cast to the cobwebs of our minds. We have the DNA of God. His breath gave life to that first human creation. What flows through each of our veins, what exists within each genetic strand, is unrefuted proof we are of the great I Am. We have all that could ever be needed to be more than what we accept today. So much less than what we could be, wouldn't you say? Until we remember what and whose we are, remember what makes this the greatness that we are, until we remember the sands of time wove into our existence, had embedded our existence into our existence from our existence, beyond thought. Remember. I remember the wisdom radiating tendrils of life received from the strength of her sands, the aroma of her assimilation of complexities of the symbiotic coexistence, the kinship between the human and she, the richness of her minerals and gems and power are building blocks to the unique, powerful mystery of she, the yet-to-be-revealed fullness of she, the beginning, present, and future of Black and world history. Throughout our existence, united as one, we stood true and triumphant when our ancestral, spiritually guided morality was met with resistance. I remember the pain, the aching of every fiber of my being, physical and the mental as well. And I, chained up, lined up, ripped up, being deposited upon a fetid, urinated, defecated, blood and life-stained, unforgiving hardwood floor. I remember thinking, this must be hell. I remember that at my darkest hour, I remembered something deeper than memory, something imbued within the soul of my soul. I remember the wisdom radiating tendrils of life from the strength of her sands, the winds of wisdom overflowing, the aroma of her assimilation of complexities of the symbiotic coexistence between the human and she. I remember the regal, righteous DNA-fed roots to life's motherland. I remember that despite being severed from her physically, she resides deeper than that. She is one with me. I remember love when I remember she. And that is what gives me hope. That is what gives me strength and pride. Though it may seem all efforts may be a tad too late, she say, wait and see. Remove your shoes, take your socks off, and become one with she again. Remember beyond remembering. I extend beneath and beyond the waters of separation. I am she, the motherland, Mother Africa, the earth from which God breathes life into human creation, the father of the Nubian and subsequent nations. Now remember, without thought, without sight, without breath, remember beyond memory. Remember without sound or smell. Remember the earth used to breathe life into man. The breath of the omnipotent great I am infused into Mother Africa's fertile sand. So always remember, she and you are as one. Mother Africa's children, her daughter, her son. No greater love from earth is there than that of she. Love so true, you cannot separate she from we. Fear not. You will remember before all is said and done. And I pray to God that with this, remembering has begun. On to the next. Oh, I couldn't wait to say that part. I got permission to say that from Stan.
That was incredible.
That was one that just, I don't know, it just came. I saw the prompt and it just flowed.
Is that one of them you're going to send to me?
Since you put it that way, absolutely.
Good. Good. Loved
one
it.
One that I'm going to.
Loved it.
Thank you so much.
Do you have a second shorter one?
Yeah, this is much shorter. This is from your earlier prompts. This is blood on paper. I truly believe every single one of us has a certain something we were gifted to be good at naturally. Some instinctual talent that to a large degree defines me. A certain something that should represent which God has my submission, my faith, and my loyalty. It took some time for me to accept my passion as poetry, and even longer to consider it as something somewhat good. I can't even pinpoint when some confidence came to be, but there became a moment in time when I began understanding there's no need for consternation when God leads my path. I am constantly being humbled and amazed when I realize, wow, God has shown up and he's done it again. So now when I write because I have a story to tell. A story of a loving God who for me became sin's atonement and absolution. A story of how he shed his blood and died for me. There's no way that I know of that could come close to reciprocation. Though for him, I dedicate my poetry. I feel it's the least I could do. He bled absolution, restoration, and resignation when he shed his blood upon the streets and the stained cross for me. Now, as my show of gratitude, I shed my blood on paper dripping into my poetry. I bleed a part of me as I strive to keep God as the guide in what I write. I bleed in transparency. I bleed what God inspires me to transfuse. And I pray I remain available and worthy to be used, and in prayer, that every drop of blood written on paper, by God, I'll be transfused. I find something so comforting and inspiring when I see my blood on paper, and I'm at peace. It's ironic that I find blood on paper as a sign of divine release. On to the next.
Fantastic job. That wouldn't even exist without a prompt. That's what's so amazing about sharing and inspiring with each other. You know, to watch something beautiful come out of an idea. Great job.
Great job. Thank you, thank you, and thank you for the platform. And hey, Amelia, Mama O, you already know I'm praying for you, and we got this. Don't even worry about it. And let's see, you can find me on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at the Inspiration Factory over at Epiphany. It's where we do poetry and praise and prayer and whatever other good things we could pop up with. That's 319-527-6300, 8 p.m. every Sunday, Eastern Standard Time. And you can find me as Paul Sampson on Facebook. Well, it's Paul Sampson, then with parentheses, Divine Inspiration. And you can find me as Blessed for Free on Instagram. And I always say I do have a, what is that other thing, the Twitter thing, but I don't know what I am on it, and I don't never use it, so there's no point in giving it to you.
Right? Okay, sweetheart. You did a great job, Paul. I'm so glad you were able to call in, and please do whenever you can.
I most certainly will. Thank you, and God bless you, Nyla. Keep doing what you're doing.
Bless you as well. Good night, honey.
Good night.
All right, so our next caller comes from area code 620. 620, you're on the air.
Hello, Nyla, Alicia. This is
hey.
Eric Shulman, the word monster. Rawr!
Rawr!
Sorry, I've been a stranger. I've been working days and nights.
I know.
And I took a,
you've been gone
took
so
a break
long.
Yeah.
Talk to
I'm
your
actually,
daddy about I, that.
Yeah, I don't work with my dad anymore. I finally quit. I actually moved to Kansas. I'm living with my brother and sister, or my sister and brother-in-law. So
see, I don't know
feet.
If I can get behind that idea, because your dad used to give you days off or time off or let you leave early so you could read on the show. So I'm
yeah,
team dad.
True.
Sorry.
That's fine. Well, I'm in Kansas now, so I haven't talked to my dad since I left, but that's fine. My phone's actually been off too, so I got another. They gave me another phone. It's a prepaid phone, so that's why I got a new number. Anyways, I got to read real quick because I'm like in 1 minute. I got to get to work. I'm already at the
okay.
shop. So, all right. Reading, rivered, ruins, reciting, rhetorical, relics, realized, written by Eric Shulman, the word monster. Rawr.
Rawr.
And there's the second one. Enduring throughout heroes, heroines, journeys, adventures, adventures, triumphs. Both of those are haikus. So
I've not used to you writing haikus or short poems. That
yeah,
was such a
I know.
Tease.
It's crazy, huh? Yeah, it is. It's a tease. That's all right. You like haikus though?
I
all
do
right,
love
well,
haikus.
Good being
and
back
I love
on,
you
man.
And I'm
I'll
so
be on when I can. Oh, sorry to interrupt you.
No, I was just saying, I miss you so much. Keep, you know, even if you can't call in, drop me a message and let me know how you're doing. You know, and,
right,
and give me your brother's phone number and I'll set him straight so he knows you need, you need a minute on Thursday, you know?
I can give you my boss's number.
I'll do it. I ain't scared of nobody.
All right. There you go. Yeah, I'm not scared of nobody either. Yeah, I missed y'all too. This is Eric Shulman, Word Monster. You can find me on Facebook. I just wrote 10 new haikus. A friend of mine from Bangladesh actually nominated me to do 10 a day. So I did that already. But anyways, I got to get inside the shop and go clock in. So it's good talking to you, and
all
I'll
right,
try to hit you up
heart.
When I can. So. Talk
all
to you
right,
later.
Baby. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye, hun.
You're welcome. Bye.
I miss him so much when he's not around. Okay, our next caller comes from area code 609, you're on the air. Are you muted? Are you with me? Oh, no, that's Paul. He already read. So we have 919. 919, you are on the air. I'm hoping. 919, are you with me? Granville? Did I put you to sleep? All right, I can hear something in the background, so I know he's not muted. We'll come back and check on him in a moment. Let's go ahead and grab 517. 517, you're on the air.
Well, hello, Nyla.
Hello, sweetheart. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you. I know old Jimmy over there has been day in here for me.
Is Jimmy in there? Jimmy still in there?
Yeah, Jimmy's still there.
He's in there. He's still there.
Show the whole way.
So, Mr. Written in Words, right?
Within the words.
Written within the words. I had it written down wrong. I'm just renaming you. Don't mind me.
No, you can name me anything you want.
Ooh, I like it. Well, I will do that if you read me anything you want.
Okay. This one is actually a challenge that Tyler Tittle gave me the other day, was to write a poem that can be read forwards and backwards. But I also did a poem around it. So this is a poem within a poem. So technically this is three poems in one.
I love
How can I tell you no? Yeah, so it starts, how can I tell you no? I don't want to, but you want to know the truth of me, why I wake in the morning, the reason I breathe. I don't want you to know it's for you, the reason I live, everything I do. Because what if you don't feel the same? Because I am not enough for anyone. I want to tell you no. Please, be patient with me. You want me to give all of myself, and I don't want to, but I'm so tired of this darkness I feel. And we've come so far together, and you want to know every thought within my heart. But it's so hard to expose the truth of me to someone I want to love me. I can't tell you that I don't know why I wake in the morning anymore, or even where to start to explain to you that the reason I breathe is for those moments I breathe you in. There are so many things I don't want you to know that I am ashamed of. I want to do this for me, but I know it's for you that I am willing to sacrifice myself this way. You have so easily become the reason I live and the reason I feel that maybe I am enough. I want you to be a part of everything I do and every beautiful moment, but I'm scared. I have so many doubts still, because what if you don't feel the same and the truth turns out to be that I am not good enough? Because I am not enough for anyone to see past my faults. You want me to open up to you, but I want to tell you no, because I love you, and I don't want to lose you. Please, be patient with me. I want to tell you no, because I am not enough for anyone. Because what if you don't feel the same? Every thing I do, the reason I live, it's for you. I don't want you to know the reason I breathe. Why I wake in the morning, the truth of me. You want to know. I don't want to, but how can I tell you no? End poem.
That has got to be one of the most amazing, vulnerable poems I've ever heard a man read.
Well, thank you.
That was incredible. I mean, it's that place where... You know, it's men are always supposed to be walking around like, I'm He-Man woman hater. You know, I live in Castle Grayskull. I'm sorry, I watched that with my kids. that's stuck in my head. But you know what I mean? You just got this, you know, you have to walk around and you have to be tough and all this stuff, you know, and to be able to stand there. And it's like when you're standing on that ledge and you just want to close your eyes and jump all in, and then you're worried about, you know, you are worried about, you know, what if they don't like me back? What if I make myself look like a fool? But then you look at yourself in their eyes and hear how they talk about you, and you want to believe what they see. You want to believe that you are who they see you as, you know, but then inside you feel like, you know, an imposter, you know, that's not really me. I can't be that person. I'm not enough, but, you know, I want to be enough. And it's a horrible, horrible kaleidoscope of emotions, that place where you're standing. Do I go in all in or do I not? And I think that you did an incredible job capturing that struggle, that place. I think it was a very vulnerable poem. I thought it was amazing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It's also, it's one of those poems you have to see it, because the poem is written up and down the inner poem, and then I wrote a poem around it all. So it's very a visual poem as well.
Is it handwritten out or did you type it out?
It's typed out, and the inner poem is highlighted in blue.
Can you screenshot it and send me a screenshot on Facebook?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd love to see it written out. I would love to see it written out. Are you going to read two?
I can do if you wish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, this second one isn't anything that I have performed yet. It's just written out and on Instagram only. It's about my favorite year, which is Christmas, because Christmas is just all year round for me. And it's called We All Search for a Purpose. There was a man who wandered through the snow, carrying some small objects in each of his hands. Children would watch him from their windows in their warm and cozy homes, wondering why. Wasn't he freezing out there? Is he lost? Why is he all alone? The children would always run to their parents to show them this man walking outside, but he was always out of view when they returned. The man never stopped wandering. He's not lost, but he is searching for something. One year, during a particularly snowy night, the children left a magnificent fox fur coat outside for the wandering man, with a note attached that read, "We don't know if you are real or not. Mama says you're just our imaginings, but we believe you're real. Please wear this coat so you can stay warm. It's our favorite color." They didn't see the man that night. The snow was too heavy to see through, but the coat was gone the next morning. And in its place was a small wooden horse and a small wooden bear. On the opposite side of their note was written a single phrase in beautiful, flowing letters. "Thank you." The children never saw this man again, but he still leaves them gifts every year to thank them for their kindness, and the children love them all season long. And the man, he still wanders, but he's found his purpose. End poem.
Wow, that was beautiful. Oh, I'm just such a groupie now.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I got Christmas decorations surrounding me. I have a Santa Claus on my desk. Santa Claus.
I love
Santa
it.
Santa Claus is all year round.
That is awesome. That
well,
is
thank
very cool.
You very much
all right,
for
my
having
baby.
Me once again.
Absolutely, my pleasure, and I am really having fun getting to know you through your work, and it was incredible. This was great tonight. Tell everyone how to find you, babe.
Within the Words on TikTok and Within the Words _poet on Instagram.
Perfect, and we will talk to you next week.
Yes, ma'am, I'll be here.
Awesome. All right. Thank you, hon. Great job tonight.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's go ahead and check Granville again real quick, see if he's come back on. 609, are you there yet? Granville, hello, wake up.
I'm still here. This is Divine Inspiration.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
That's not even Granville's number. Granville's down there. Is he still there? Oh, holy hell, I mixed up. All right. Thank you, hon.
Yeah, It's no problem.
What was that I said earlier about, you know, we don't always do it pretty, but we always do it? Okay, so next caller. The issue I'm having is the on me, and everything is hodgepodged right now. So I think 240 is our next caller. 240, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi,
everything
sweetheart.
Is fun with automatic and charismatic.
How you doing, honey?
I'm doing just fine.
We've got 17 minutes left. I still have 5 callers online, so I'm not going to comment.
Okay.
I'm just going to let you guys read. So go ahead, baby.
All right. Perfect combination. I'm not going to be too long. Please stop. In these deep words have become from the strength and be redeemed. And our life is trying to be clean. We come like a time machine. Learning of the essence of the ancestors we follow, knowing what the sorrow was and trying to find a better tomorrow. We come as the perfect combination of the warrior God King, warrior Goddess Queen, the God in us and with the guidance and everything that was followed by the violence, sprayed by the fire hose, with all the pain going through our clothes. You can see the fight, and we will try to be like the equal going to another sequel. The perfect combination we see above with the love and the confidence of the acknowledgement. There are times in the world of the whole life of the entire. We set the world on fire. They see like the free freedom speak off our chests, and we bring in our best. The ancestors have spoken, and the words that have been chosen, and I am going to preview the words that you will see. Freedom every day, freedom of the life of the perfect combination. Warrior God King, warrior Goddess Queen. Like the Coretta Scott King and Dr. Martin Luther King, like the Betty Shabazz and Malcolm X. We speak those. We speak the unity. Worldwide, and it will never be denied. Now unlock the perfect combination. This automatic charismatic delivery going to be in the moment of being dry.
I love your freestyle so much.
Thank you. I'm up here, you know, I'm driving, doing this freestyle. I want to tell truck drivers, be pleased. There was a bad accident with my company I work for. The guy was in the hospital. His old truck turned over. Please get your rest. Get some sleep. Don't try to be out here trying to run, and you won't get no rest. And just, you know, look around. Be vigilant. Be pay attention to your surroundings. You know, so I mean, but of course, this automatic charismatic, you find me at WordPress, you'll find me here, where poetry is, Facebook, Larry, Miss AZ, Piper Shepherd. So, you know, I may be doing radio, interviewing people. You're one of the people I like to interview. Yeah, you find me there.
We'll see.
You know, you've been on for a long time. I think that, I don't know, are you familiar with hip hop like Noriega? Paul Noriega? Are you familiar with hip hop?
Not real familiar, no.
Rap. Okay.
I'm kind of a Billy Idol girl.
Are you in the rock? Rock and roll, heavy metal, or
no. Kind of, I'm more like a British Invasion, 80s British Invasion is probably my favorite.
I know, yeah, I know about Billy Idol.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome, baby. Thank you for being here.
We will, promise.
All right.
Thank you, hon. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
Okay.
Love you, sweetie. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Our next caller comes from area code 315. No, it's 513. 513, you're on the air.
Hello there.
Hello. How are you?
I am hanging in there. How have you been?
I've been doing really good.
Oops. Sorry about that.
It's good to hear from you.
It's good to hear from you as well. It's good to be here. My head finally decided to stop revolting and give me a break so I could actually participate. So I do
have...
So
do you go by Ty?
Yeah, I do, actually. It's interchangeable. As I've gotten older, I prefer Ty, but Tyler, Ty, either or.
My son's middle name is Ty, or Tyler, and he goes by Ty, T-Y-E.
Okay.
Isn't that weird?
My middle name is Steven. So my mom was a little bit of an Aerosmith fan, but didn't want to go with the Steven Tyler. She had originally told me it was supposed to be Tyler Nathan Tittle, but the TNT initials would have been too fitting for my personality as a kid.
I love it. Very cool. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you called in.
Yeah, I'm glad too. So this one is called Grief, and it's a short one because I know you have more callers, so I just wanted to pick one for you guys. Shaped and formed in that moment of loss, feeling the monster's hot breath against our backs, its claws digging into muscle and flesh in poem.
Wow, I felt that one.
That was phenomenal.
That
was when we got the call that my grandpa finally passed. And I wrote that back in 2008. So that was a very young Tyler.
Very profound Tyler. And your next one, my dear?
My next one.
Hmm.
Gotcha. I am a collection of ideas and words, calligraphies on parchment and poetry, nothing else. Ink stains on my palms, or are they blood stains from all the words I swallowed to save face? Avoiding conflict beget more conflict until I was impaled on all sides by daggers and spears. I should have known my fears would have come true and everything circled back to you. End poem.
It's a terrible place to be, isn't it?
It really is.
It's like a death of your own making.
But sometimes the best thing about death is the rebirth that follows.
I was just going to say that. You know, sometimes we have to let a part of us die to let a part of us live.
Exactly. I've been kind of going through that, especially with the physical health realm and everything. So it's been nice. It's been a very healing experience.
I think that was a great piece. Both of those were awesome. Hi, you did amazing.
Thank you so much. You have a good rest of your night.
You too. But before you take off, you need to tell
all
your future fans how to find you.
You all can find me on TikTok at Third Eye Tie, and you can find me on Instagram at Third Eye Tie Poetry.
Perfect. All right, Tyler, we will talk to you next week. Thank you so much for being here tonight.
I'll see you next week. Thank you.
You're welcome, hon. Bye-bye. All right, our next caller comes from area code 313. 313, you're on the air.
Hello, Nyla. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you doing?
Done good. It's true enough. It's been a while. I am going to share Stop Complaining. It's been a while since I've done this piece. Are you in debt, broke, no job? Stop complaining. Are you eating, sleeping, waking up to another day, no matter the weather conditions? Stop complaining. Self-control is wealth. Moderation is dire to your mental, physical, and spiritual health. So stop complaining. We take for granted the choices, the options God has given us. Why immerse yourself in materialism to only live in the obliteration and the self-destruction of yourself? The obstacle is being self-conscious about things of unimportance. Stop complaining. If you don't know who you are, take time to find yourself. To the youth, the truth is in your initiative and your drive to see beyond the vision of the naked eye, because the only promise of reaching that limit of the sky comes from the faith inside. Stop complaining. Racial tension will continue. Facial expressions will continue to frown as you reach that inner peace. But that crab in a barrel effect doesn't have to affect your progress. Don't speak of your accolades. Be modest. Don't lie to yourself. Be honest. For there is purity in the truth. Will you continue to let the ganja affect your conscience? Will you walk that treacherous mountain with minimal resources barefoot? Life is a recipe, and we are the chefs. We accumulate our ingredients through experience, our willingness to accept, ability to forgive, compassion for others, and a universal mindset to make that first-class meal of humility. Stop complaining and take control of what you have and utilize and compensate for what you don't have. And that treacherous mountain could soon become a smooth path. In peace.
That was amazing. That was amazing.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Are you going to do two or just the one?
I'll do one more. I'll do see what's love got to do with it. My people are heartbroken because they have chosen incompatible souls to comfort them instead of following what their hearts have chosen. Instinct is intertwined in our mind, bodies, and souls to move and navigate that indecisive ocean to reach that number one goal that we call companionship. What's love got to do with it, lady, when a man with a plan doesn't have a plan that includes you, and you struggle to buy diapers for your baby and breakfast, lunch, and dinner, it's ramen noodles, and dessert, it's dry fruit juice. What's love got to do with it? If a friend can never lend an ear unless you purchase a beer, and the only purpose of their existence is to lurk in the silhouette of your shame and to cheer because you live in fear. What's love got to do with it? When a doctor tells you your child has a birth defect and you scream malpractice and say they showed you the worst respect. What's love got to do with it? This goes to show how love sometimes has no effect. In peace.
Wow. Like in your face.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That was awesome. Baby, you need to tell everybody who you are because I keep getting little things saying, who's reading? And that's your job.
This is true enough. I've been around before. You guys probably have seen me before from Poet Chicago. You can find me on Facebook on Deontay, DanteTruenuff, True Enough Conover, and on Instagram, True Enough 84, TrueEnuff 84.
Perfect. All right, sweetheart, fantastic job tonight. Thank you for hanging in there. Thank you for being here to read, and I'm hoping we'll get to hear from you next week.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure, Sarge. Thank you, sweetheart. Okay. Our next caller comes from area code 807. Mr. Robbie, are you there?
Yes, Robbie is here.
Robbie, baby. What do you have for tonight, sweetheart?
I have a hope song, and it sounds like a couple of people in the chat are particularly
in the same sort of mindset with as what this poem is representing, and poem represents the mindset I'm in. So I'm curious to see after what everybody says or how it vibes with them. And I wrote this yesterday to a improv'd electronic music session that someone always does at 10 o'clock on her show there. So this is written to that improv. A hope sung in song like reverent prayer from the highest of oneself to the great beyond, reaching the length and breadth of distance, bridging the distance from what one is, reaching to what one could be. I see the destiny of me in that which speaks beyond me but is a part of me, even though I almost never see it through the haze of every day. I scorch the heavens with a fiery spirit to find it, the best part of myself buried in the malaise of everyday necessity. Reaching with hands into the earth, raising them, I abide in the starlight that pinpricks before my eyes, heaving a contented sigh of goodbye to all that never served me before. I meet that which resides above me, finally, as my highest self meets the high self, and we intermingle as we are still separate, yet somehow become one. And I hum a singular tune belonging to the spirit of myself, knowing that no matter the trial or tribulation, the struggle or the pain, when all is done, only the best of myself is what will remain. End poem.
Wow. So that's where you've been.
Yeah, as you get older, I'll make this very quick, but as you get older, you start to really rebel against what you realize doesn't serve you. Like I've been talking in chat there about how, you know, I get like such less hours, and yet like I look in the back room and there's tons and tons of work to do, right? Like I see tons of stock to put away, and yet it's like, well, no, you know, just 10 hours, we'll just give you the 10 hours. And you see how things like that are like things that actively go against what would serve you best, right? And I just you become more aware of that, of when you become a part of something that doesn't serve your best interest, and you more actively seek to get away from that and to get to something that's better, right? Because you want to have things that support your life and to support your aspirations in that. And after a while, you just, you know, if you grow into a certain way, you don't just say, oh, well, it is what it is. You actively try to go for better things because you know that you can, right? And you don't have to just throw up your hands and say, nah, it is what it is. You know you have at least some agency to go out and to seek better things. So it came kind of from that and other things as well.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
You can hear me now.
Yep.
I was talking, but you couldn't hear me. That was crazy.
I thought maybe you're waiting for me to stop talking.
No,
go ahead.
I was not waiting for you to stop talking.
That was, well, you would never stop.
Basically, I was just telling you a great job on that.
Okay.
We'll leave it there.
We both knew if you waited for me to stop talking, it would never happen, right?
Oh. Right.
Yeah.
All right, so you're doing just one, or are you going to read two, hun?
I can read another short one here. Let me get, I want to see if there's one here that's, let's see. I think, okay. This one's similar. A song sung in hope. Let's see. Is that actually? Oh no, that's the same one. No, I think yeah. I think I'm good for today. Yeah, format here for how everything comes up in my list is screwy now, and it's hard for me to see what's where and all that. Stupid Windows, why'd you have to reformat? Why'd you have to reformat that?
That's awesome. All right, tell everyone how to find you, babe.
Yeah, I can be found at Robbie's Multimedia Poetry. You just look under that name, and you'll see everything that I'm attached to. And every once in a while, I'm up to something new, like especially now it's the harmonica. And every once in a while, it's good to check and see if I'm maybe posting something new on SoundCloud or posting a poem on All Poetry, that sort of thing there.
Very cool.
And thank you, Martha.
All right.
Martha's being very supportive of me tonight. So
Martha's
thanks for the bear hug.
Amazing. If you knew her in person, I'm telling you, I have the privilege of knowing her in person. Like body person.
Yeah.
She's like one of the most incredible human beings I have ever met.
I've yet to meet anybody that I've met online, and I don't know if that'll ever happen. It just seems to be something like if I want it, when it's something that I've sought or when I've gotten excited that someone said, oh, yeah, I think I'm going to be coming, something always gets in the way. And it's a very disconcerting pattern for me, and hopefully that won't happen too much again. But I actually get scared when somebody says, oh, I'm gonna come up to see you, Rob. And it's like, oh, God, what's going to happen to block this? It sucks when you feel like you have a certain karma, but, you know, what do you do, right?
You get what you say. Power of the spoken word. You know that.
I know.
All right, love. We'll talk to you next week.
Yep.
Perfect. All right. Thank you, sweetheart.
Bye-bye.
All right. Our next caller, we have two more callers. We have 856, and then we have Mr. Hatter to close out the show. Let's go ahead and grab 856. You are on the air. Eight, five, six, are you with me? Eight, five, six. Oh, come on. We've waited so long. 856, are you there? Don't know that number. Do I know that number? 856. 856, are you with me? All right, so I guess I'm going to mute them. 856, 856, area code 856. 856? I'll just keep saying 856 until they show up, right? All right, I'm going to mute them. We'll take our next caller, and then I'll check with them before we close out the show. I'm going to feel terrible if I can't get them on. All right. Let's go ahead and grab Mr. Hatter. Mr. Hatter, you are on the air.
Yeah, thank you. Maybe they fell asleep.
Maybe.
I've done that.
I'm
actually
done
that.
Terrible.
It's okay.
So boring, Nyla, you made me go to sleep.
Exactly.
So, what do you have to close out show with tonight?
I brought a classic, and I just got the one called I Will Always Bring You Flowers. I think I might have read it once before. I Will Always Bring You Flowers. I gave all that I have to see you smile, those little things that had a price tag of nothing more than my time. I cannot seem to let go. There's something I think you should know, something I do. I still bring you flowers. Can you feel what it is that is real still inside me in a world that kills, it wills the pain by promising tomorrow's change? It will always remain that
remain the same. I miss you now, and I will miss you again tomorrow. Did you happen to see what the better part of it used to be me? I cannot seem to find it. I bring you flowers, so you will find there is more than what was mine. You promised me you would always stay. I will always bring you flowers. End poem.
That was beautiful. In the fields. And
yeah,
you're going to read two. I know you have to read two.
Oh, okay. I'll throw a dart here. Go back in my file. I can't
you
believe I have 1,200. I sort of figured you might. I'm going to go deep in the vault here. Let's see. Okay, the Dunes of the Hourglass Sands. It's a favorite of my roommates. The Dunes of the Hourglass Sands, because like this. Do not watch as the last torch fades or reach to the dark with empty hands. Do not walk amongst the devil's sage on the dunes of the hourglass sands. The hills that keep the mirrors of time count the tears you weep. The glass that shattered held the wine lay broken at your feet. The shadows march along the walls, salute with blood-stained hands, and repeat the tales a dead man calls on the dunes of the hourglass sands. End poem.
Wow. I am so glad you were able to get on tonight. I kind of like you closing out the shows with me. I don't know if you do that intentionally or not. It's like I see you lurking in the shadows, and it's like, is he going to perform, or is he, or isn't he?
Yeah, it seems to work out when I'm done with one of the other shows that I frequent because I'm a board member of the group, so I tend to have to go to the shows. They're over about the time. You still got an hour left, usually, or a half hour left, so it works out. And I am usually the last call of the night. Thank you for letting me read. Cool.
Oh, no, thank you for jumping over here and getting on an already busy night. That's even more appreciated.
Sure.
So tell everyone how they can find you and give you loves and all those wonderful things.
I got I'll have music show on all poetry, all Atima Voices group here at Blog Talk every other Tuesday. The 12th I'll be doing Chicago Transit Authority, the group. And then the first and last Friday of every month, I will be hosting it's called Strange World. It's, I'm going to bring up some things that you might not know about, give a heads up on the artificial intelligence problem we're going to have, because we're going to have one. And anything else that might be just off on the news. A break in poetry, anyway.
It's going to be awesome. For sure, let me know when that is. I would love to be listening and be there.
I'll try to get the link over to you this time.
Appreciate it. That would be awesome. All right, sweetheart.
Cool.
Thank you. And
yep.
We will talk
thank
to you,
you
next week, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Mara. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, I am going to check with 856 one more time. 856, are you with me? I wish I knew who this was. 856. 856. I am singing to you because I don't know if you want to come on the air, but your hand is up and I can't hear you and I probably put you to sleep and singing is not going to make it any better. All right, you guys. So 856, I am so sorry I weren't able to get you on. Makes my little heart break. I want to thank everyone for being here tonight. You've been listening to the Speakeasy Cafe Open Mic Poetry Show. It has been an incredible evening. We've had some amazing poets on. I want to thank all of you who've been here hanging out and listening. Appreciate you. I'm going to close the show with a piece, not that one. That was mine. I'm not playing mine. Oh, that makes me think. This is the first show of the month, isn't it? Is it the first show of the month? It is. I was supposed to read tonight and didn't. We'll do that next week. All right. So I'm going to play a piece by, let me see. Let's do, no, that, not that one. That's an anniversary song. Let's do, no, that's a zombie birthday song. I can't, like, scroll and then stop, scroll and then stop. Let's do, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Is that Grandma Poe? We're not going to play him. Let's do this one, Emily Kagan Trenchard, the aunt. All right, we'll see you next week, everybody. Have a great night. Bye.
The ant. I kill the same ant every day, and every day he acts surprised, as if he doesn't recognize my beechwood desk by the smell of his own ghost. I think, what a gift, this blank page of a mind, to awake each day from a garden bed, see the world of brick and infinite height, and think, yes. Every day, my bald finger misses him on the first poke, and he panics. His aimless perambulations, now a frantic sprint for his very existence, and I wonder what, in his very countable collection of thoughts, tugs his heart into terror at its passing. Is it the new cut smell, the dewy give, the familiar path through rotting wood boards into the garden's belly, second tunnel on the left where he stores what he carries home? Perhaps all of his dear and wild moments come again in turn. What a gift that would be. On my second stab, I hit him, and in classic human form, dramatically underestimate how much force it will take to press him out. Like him, there are elements of this drama plucked clear from my memory each night. I marvel at his resilience, his perfect construction, wriggling free and running off again across a photo of myself and a girlfriend mugging for the camera, my eyebrow cocked as if to say, really? Again today? It's the third try that gets him. Two fingers fiddling, spindling him into a ball, and then flick into a trash bin at my knee. It is for my sake that he comes back each day. A small reminder from the blank and possible world that when the time comes, you'd better have something good to flash before your eyes and a reason to run like hell.